If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that music is the expression of emotion, and that politics is merely the decoy of perception.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush wants the new Congress to give the White House line item veto power. Bush is looking to control spending as the Democrats prepare to take control of the House tomorrow. A line item veto allows the president to cut certain spending from legislation without vetoing an entire bill. Looking to balance the federal budget by 2012, Bush is also asking Congress to extend tax cuts. The 110th Congress will be the first time in 12 years that the Democrats have controlled both the House and the Senate. Nancy Pelosi will become the first female Speaker of the House in U.S. history. The new Congress is expected to launch a 100-hour legislative agenda tomorrow, which includes raising the minimum wage, along with making college tuition and prescription drugs more affordable. NBC News reports that President Bush will announce a surge of 20,000 troops to Iraq to help control sectarian violence. Most of the soldiers and Marines will have extended deployments or will be deployed sooner than planned. Many U.S. generals are opposed to a troop increase because they say it could result in an increase in U.S. casualties. They also fear that a short-term surge in troop numbers will not have a long-term effect on Iraqi violence. The FBI has released documents detailing abuse of prisoners at Guantanamo Bay, similar to the abuse discovered in Abu Ghraib. Some military authorities testified the abusive techniques were specifically approved by former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and the Pentagon. Former President Jimmy Carter and former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld spoke at former President Gerald Ford's funeral today. Ford is being buried this afternoon next to his museum in Grand Rapids, Michigan. In the Plains states, the National Guard is dropping bales of hay down to livestock stranded in the aftermath of this week's blizzard. Colorado's agriculture official says the number of livestock perishing there is expected to break the 1997 record of more than 30,000 during a blizzard that year. In news around the world, in Baghdad, three people have now been arrested in connection with the video recording of the Saddam Hussein execution. An advisor to Prime Minister Nour al-Maliki describes one person as, quote, an official who supervised the execution, end quote. Also in Baghdad, Saddam Hussein's two co-defendants are expected to be executed tomorrow. The prisoners are Saddam's half-brother and the former Chief Justice of the Revolutionary Court. You're listening to the Quality News Network, science and business news, coming up next. Now this.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
A 14-year-old British boy has become the youngest sailor to complete a solo voyage across the Atlantic. He left Gibraltar 6 weeks ago and sailed into Antigua today, 3,500 miles later. Chinese zoologists are celebrating a record number of panda births in 2006. 30 panda babies were bred and born in captivity. The panda is one of the rarest animals in the world. Toyota to create turn-off sensors in its cars, which will detect drunken drivers. The sensors, located in the steering wheel, will be able to detect high levels of alcohol in the driver's bloodstream through their sweat. The Wall Street Journal reports that Walmart has decided to schedule many of its 1.3 million workers based on customer traffic. They will put in a new computerized scheduling system to implement the changes. The president and chief executive of Earthlink Incorporated has died. Gary Betty was 49 years old and suffered from cancer. The internet service provider has more than 5 million customers. Home Depot CEO Bob Nardelli abruptly resigned today. He was criticized by investors lately for his large paycheck and poor performance of his company's stock. His severance deal is worth about $210 million. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.32 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was up 11 points, the NASDAQ was up 8 points, and the S&P 500 was down 2 points. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Christine Kendall.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Almost 6.5 minutes after the hour, it is Wednesday, the third day of January 2007, and former President and Richard Nixon co-conspirator Gerald R. Ford is still dead. Just thought you'd want to know. No. There's far more important stuff to be addressed. They finally put the old dude in the dirt today, didn't they? I mean, it was... Well, I don't know. Someday I'll do a reading of a Mark Twain story that speaks to all this, but... Yeah, I think they finally buried him on a hill overlooking his beloved presidential museum. Do we get more Gerald Ford coverage tomorrow? I don't know. I simply don't know. I hope not. Agnes is at the point of throwing perfectly good Italian pumps at the television. She got them at Goodwill. They had Condi written on the inside of them. Ferragamos. First things first. It's Wednesday, you know what that means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Darn right. And of course, you know, since it is prayer meeting night, while the weirdos are off handling snakes about now, we'll talk about them funny behind their backs. It's prayer meeting night, so, and yes, I know, there are a million things we probably need to be focusing on first, but daggone if we don't get to have a little fun once in a while. It's not just every day that Pat Robertson issues his predictions for 2007. Just like he issued his predictions for 2006, and 2005. From the Associated Press... God, they devote journalism to this stuff. I mean, I remember when Gene Dixon would show up on the front page of the Inquirer about this time of year, but nobody pretended that that was journalism. Some dude's going to get a paycheck this week for having, in part, part of the reason for it's going to be that he wrote a story about Pat Robertson doing his year predictions.
In what has become an annual tradition of prognostications...
Jesus.
Religious broadcaster Pat Robertson said Tuesday God has told him that a terrorist attack on the United States would result in, quote-unquote, mass killing late in 2007.
I'm not necessarily saying it's going to be nuclear, he said during his news and talk television show. News and talk. Oh, my aching back.
news talk television show, The 700 Club. Yeah, I'd like to use about 700 clubs on him. On the Christian... How do you... I don't know. Has any of this made the QNN... top of the hour newscast today, because I don't know. I mean, those are veteran broadcasters over there. Annabelle Lund and her other cohorts. Could you do a 20-second reader on this on a top of the hour radio network newscast, and not just break down into absolute paroxysms of laughter on the Christian Broadcasting Network? Quote, "The Lord didn't say nuclear, but I do believe it will be something like that." You know, there's not a lot in this world that's like nuclear. There's nuclear blasts, and then there's not nuclear blasts. Unless, you know, something blowing up is like nuclear, except it doesn't have all the radiation and stuff that makes people vaporize on the spot. Robertson said God told him during a recent Robertson said God told him during a recent prayer retreat that major cities and possibly millions of people will be affected by the attack, which should take place sometime after September. God's busy between now and September? Or is he going to punish us for our satanic Halloween rituals? See, this is the kind of stuff I don't have any problem whatsoever picking this whole confounded story apart. Because it's evil. It's just plain evil. Possibly millions of people will be affected by the attack, which should take place sometime after September. Now, there's a couple of different ways of having a look at this. Right? On the one hand, you've got Pat Robertson needs to be in a rubber room somewhere. And that's a perfectly viable argument. On the other hand, there is there's some psychology behind this stuff. Some aberrant, abnormal psych. What kind of God is Pat Robertson hustling? What kind of psychopathic God is Pat Robertson hustling? Oh, there's more than one kind? Well, in this case, there is. Apparently, he... Hey, Pat, come here. Now get yourself a latte and come over here. I got to tell you what's going to happen in 2007. Yes, Lord! Well, here's how it goes, Pat. There's going to be a big explosion in American cities. And millions of people are going to die, and it's going to happen sometime after September. Yes, Lord! Does it ever occur to Pat that he makes God look like a really, really sick ass? Well, Lord, which cities are going to be affected? That's for me to know and you to find out. Well, Lord, how many millions? Haven't decided yet. Well, Lord, can you tell us who's going to do it? Nope. Can you give me a general region, north, south, east, west, Sun Belt, Rust Belt, Pacific Coast, New England? Nope. Just going to have to wait and be horrified and surprised, because that's the kind of God I am. This is just disgusting.
He's running the psychic network, dear.
The psychotic network?
Okay, the psychotic network.
Yes, I know. I mean, for us normal people, us rational people, us reasonably connected to a natural world that works according to natural principles and not according to magic, this just comes across as plain old-fashioned crazy. This... Oh, Pat Robertson. Now the article also entails a few of Pat Robertson's other predictions. What do we got? Oh, let's see. Robertson suggested in January 2006 that God punished then-Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon with a stroke for ceding Israeli-controlled land to the Palestinians. He took that back, however, because the Israelis said, oh, you want to talk that way about our Prime Minister? Well, we don't want you to build Jesus land on the shores of the Sea of Galilee anymore. And suddenly God issued a mea culpa through Pat Robertson. No roller coasters for Jesus? Well, okay. God takes it back. You really? No kidding. The Israeli government, I mean, and this isn't tinfoil hat black helicopter stuff. This isn't, you know, liberal media. No, Pat Robertson's been in negotiations for several years to build a Disney theme park style attraction amusement area on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and put bumper cars where believers think that maybe Peter, James, John, Judas, the other Judas, you know, the one the Bible refers to as Jesus' twin, where they may have walked and cast their nets and gone fishing. Maybe where Jesus and Mary Magdalene took the quiet, loving strolls along the shore. Well, that's where we're going to put the tunnel of love, Brother Bob. So, you know, he took it back. Well, God took it back. But he didn't. He took it back, the bit about it being for the being stricken, you know, smited, smitten, smote, for giving land away to the filthy, filthy Palestinians. But oddly enough, God did not take away the stroke itself. No healing for you, Ariel Sharon. Come to Jesus now. In January 2004, Pat said that George Bush would easily win re-election in a landslide. Apparently, now in the Miracle Math Made Easy department of the 700 Club, landslide means slightly more than 51% of the electorate. Then there's 2005. Robertson said that Bush would cruise to victory after victory after victory. It's like something out of a Fields movie. It's no longer an English living room drama. From now on, it's a circus picture. You play in the college football game. You score touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. Well, may I wear... Do I have to change costumes? You can keep the headgear. Oh, God. I said victory after victory. It said specifically, Pat Robertson did, that Social Security reform would... Like, through a goose. And that Bush... Now, listen, here's an experiment. You can do it at home if you're so inclined. You can get something that will put you out of your mind. I mean, you can drink up a fifth of vodka through a straw, or you can drink a couple of gallons of salt water, and that'll make you madder than a hatter, too. And at the end of it, when you're really, really whacked out of your mind... You can put your little index and middle fingers on either side of your head up against your temples, and you can say, "Talk to me, God, talk to me." There it is. I feel it. It's coming through. Yeah,
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Next year, George Bush is gonna nominate conservative judges to federal courts. Got it.
Well, that was one of Pat Robertson's 2005 predictions, that George Bush would nominate conservative judges to federal courts. It doesn't take a lot of guts, does it? Doesn't take, I mean, you don't, that's not even low-rent Nostradamus stuff now, is it? No, because, what's he going to do? Let's see, 2007, this is the year George Bush is going to nominate flaming liberal ACLU card-carrying constitutional right-defending lawyers to the federal bench. Not. And, oh, by the way, this past May, this is the best part. This past May, Marion Patrick Robertson, son of the former United States Senator, who managed to dodge Korea by becoming the chief liquor officer. Marion Pat Robertson said God told him that storms and possibly, now bear in mind, this is the Atlantic Ocean. Possibly a tsunami would crash into America's coastline in 2006. Well, there were no tsunamis. However, this past Tuesday, as in yesterday, same program, Pat Robertson said that heavy rains this past spring and flooding in New England partly fulfilled the prediction. In other words, God doesn't know the difference between a giant wave in the ocean slamming a coastline and rain. And bear in mind, I mean, you're sitting there, I hope you're giggling, this is funny. Until but then you contemplate that this is the part that's not so funny and awfully damn scary. There are literally, no, I'm not kidding, millions, and you know this, millions of people who are your fellow Americans who hang on this charlatan, this demon's every word. And little old ladies and little old men send him parts of their Social Security checks. And they say, Brother Pat, God talks to him. What does it sound like when God talks to you? Do you get to ask questions? Do you get to say, hey, God, could you tell me the region? I mean, you know, you at least told Lot about what was going on with Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And he went and tried to find some righteous people. I mean, do we get that chance? I mean, can we find 15 righteous people in Lompoc lest ye wipe it off the face of the planet? Might there be 25 upright people in, oh, where do they really, oh, Seattle! San Francisco. Bill O'Reilly is already in, you know, this is finally getting around to my year in review show, I guess. Bill O'Reilly invited Al-Qaeda to put a bomb smack dab on top of the Coit Tower. You know, will Pat's God give him a chance to go find 25 righteous people in San Francisco lest he wipe it off the map? Is there a Mrs. Robertson? If she turns around and looks at it when it goes down, will she turn into a pillar of salt? Would it make any difference? Pat Robertson's already a pillar of poop. What would he turn into? Yeah, I know. There are other things to talk about tonight, and they are serious things. But please understand this is serious, too. This is, as they say, deadly serious. Robertson said, and I quote,
"I have a relatively good track record. Sometimes I miss." Well, wait a minute. God's telling him this stuff. God, he doesn't miss. God does.
No, this is serious because these are the people, these millions of people who believe that once upon a universe, that the sun stood still in the sky. They believe that it's possible. They believe it's possible for, you know, Jonah to be running away from God, get tossed overboard in a storm, swallowed by a big fish. Not a whale, mind you, a big fish. I mean, if it was a whale, there'd be a chance, but a whale's not a fish. A whale's gonna, but get swallowed by a big fish, vomited up on the shore, and go and tell Nineveh that they'd screwed the pooch. Those people who believe that garbage are the people that in a day or so George Bush will appeal to and explain that they're going to, they're not just going to serve, they're going to surge and accelerate. They're going to surge 20,000 more mothers, sons, and daughters, 20,000 more daycare workers, 20,000 more drywall finishers, 20,000 more painters, 20,000 more firefighters, 20,000 more seamstresses, 20,000 more nurses. Everyday Americans, they're going to surge and accelerate them into the abject failure and madness that is Iraq. And these rapturous boobies of the religion industry, the same kind of people that believe Pat Robertson when he says, there's going to be a nuclear, it's going to be an attack, it sounded like nuclear, but God didn't say nuclear. Honest to Pete, I think if I had the chance, I would hold Pat Robertson down long enough for Agnes to shoot the Thorazine dart into his neck. You gotta think Pat would be relieved for the voices to finally go away. And I respect the work of Cenk Uygur, Young Turks, another one of those progressive liberal talkers. I think he says it was at some point, he says he's a former Republican or something like that. But just to share a couple of his words with you on this very topic is, I think, reasonable. And it came out just the other day over at HuffingtonPost.com. And he was responding to a poll, an AOL and Associated Press poll, that asked people, as polls are wont to do, that asked them about their, expectations for the coming year. And as a consequence, Cenk wrote a column at Huffington Post, and the title of it was 25% of the Country is Certifiably Insane. And, you know, he said there were some interesting findings, like the fact that there are more Americans who think that the draft will be reinstated next year, 35%, than those who think we will withdraw our forces from Iraq, 29%. Numbers that showed how well the public is attuned to the current political and economic climate. 80% predict an increase in the minimum wage. 90% predict higher gas prices. But then Cenk writes, there is one number that stands out among the rest as absolutely unbelievable. 25% of Americans believe that Jesus Christ will return to Earth in 2007. 25% in 2007. And bless his heart, I guess it's taken him a while to get here, but Cenk has finally gotten to where we all have been for a couple of years now with this program, because he writes, these people are nuts. There's no polite way of saying it. If I sound superior, too bad. Sanity has its advantages. If some of the famed cultural warriors of the right want to take me on and defend their cherished Christian cohort, step on up. I'll take them on, everyone, and win very, very easily. And this is the part that showed, you know, this is a smart guy, Cenk Uygur. He says, here's my plan for victory. Wait till 2008. When Jesus doesn't come again for the 2007th time, I'll be proven right. Will the people who believed he was coming in 2000 change their minds? Absolutely not. They'll just say, hey, it's 2008, not 2007. He'll be here in 2008. You just watch and see. Praise Jesus. But again, Cenk says these people are nuts. He says these people are, and I quote, seriously disturbed. He says, you think a magic man is going to appear out of the sky and grant you eternal bliss. If the man's name was anything other than Jesus, that belief would get you locked up as a psychotic. And the fact that you've given him this magic name and decided to call him your Lord doesn't make it any more sane. Well, he's right, Cenk is, of course. But the thing is, You gotta make the final connection, and that is, as Keith Olbermann noted last night in his special comment, these same insane people are the ones that John McCain is going to, saying we need to send more people to Iraq so that we can stabilize the country and quell the violence, I'm sorry. I think at some point we're going to play Keith's comment from last night simply because it deserves to be heard again. But what do you do with there was a time in our country, and in the world, or at least what we used to call the civilized world, where we had pity and compassion for the insane. And we tried to develop medications that would help them be able to lead meaningful lives. But now in this nation that is under the fell sway of these crazy people themselves, we've given up on that idea. We've given up. And so, someone you love, some friend of yours, as close relative or dear one, may likely be thrown into the Iraqi meat grinder in the next month or so, after George Bush and John McCain have reached out and told the people who believe that it's all okay because we get pie in the sky when we die, that we need to surge and accelerate in Iraq. And what kind of sick bastard is Pat Robertson, who, if something does happen next fall, will, you know, whether it's a salmon cannery blowing up from overpressurized fish, or a fireworks stand going up because some idiot walked into it horking on a cigar, He'll say, "See? Told ya. God told me and I told you." Be a heck of a lot easier for God to smite the bad salmon or send a lightning bolt down to the guy with the cigarette walking into the tent before he can get there and blow up and hurt other people, wouldn't it? But these fundies, God doesn't operate that way, because these fundies, God is a sick, twisted, malevolent, vicious thing, reminiscent of the demiurge that's referred to in Gnostic teachings. And unlike any sort of God that you and I would ever recognize. Let's go to the phones. Wayne's with us. Hey, Wayne. Welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Just sitting here waiting for the lightning bolt.
Yeah, I know. Well, don't be afraid. I don't think any lightning bolts are coming. And I don't have too much faith that Jesus Christ is coming back in 2007. But one thing I do know for sure.
Yeah.
The Antichrists are in charge of the damn world, man, and we got to do something about that.
Well, that's true. And you know, they don't have they're not tattooing anything on our foreheads yet, or on the back of our hands, or any of that other common crap that's in enshrined in the Book of Revelation.
Oh, there's probably a section about that in.
But you know what
true.
But you know what they are doing? They're putting individualized tracking devices inside United States passports. That's in the plans. So, in other words, you won't be able to leave the country or enter the country unless you've got. Oh, I don't know. Sounds a little like the mark of the beast, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and you'll be a beep on a screen.
Yeah, and so
they want to look at that part of the screen.
So, what do the fundies think about that? What's their response to that? Oh, well, that's not the mark of the beast because it doesn't say 666, and they're not making it make us wear it on our forehead, idiots.
Right. Well, we're dealing with a bunch of idiots, I'm very, very encouraged. The new Congress is starting. I think, you know me, buddy. I got to have hope, man,
Yeah, sure.
I do, I'm proud of the Democrats telling the Republicans that, look, man, for the first 100 hours, we ain't going to listen to nothing you got to say because we're going to do these things. And I think that's a very important move.
Yeah, we're the majority, you're the minority, and as the minority, your job is to sit down.
They're crying.
Oh, yeah.
Jazz, what the hell you think they did to us for 6 years?
Right. Their job right now is to sit down and shut up.
Exactly. You remember Dick Armory?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just saw Dick Armory. Well, the whole thing, the final thing is the president is the commander-in-chief. Whether you like what he does or don't like what he does, there's really nothing you could do about it. Well, that, my good man, is bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot they could do about it, and cutting off funding is the main thing, and putting them on notice that this is over. And, I'm encouraged by what we're, hopefully about to see here. And West Virginia politics is becoming more and more exciting. We just had one of our Carpenter representative from the Northern Panhandle, Orphy Klimpett, was elected to the House of Representatives. Today in Wood County, a gentleman, Danny Poland, who has been with the Painters Union for many years, has been appointed to fill a seat of Bean? Was it Bean?
Yeah.
Took a judgeship or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that has increased the union membership in the House in West Virginia, which is very good. And we're looking to do things in West Virginia that kind of mimic, in a way, some parts of the Employees Free Choice Act as a way of promoting that agenda and saying that West Virginia is on board for that. We're going to try to get legislation passed that outlaws mandatory, what do I want to call? Collective meetings.
Yeah.
you know, that the company holds the test.
Yeah, where the company takes the workers into a room
captive
and
holds audience.
Yeah, and restrains them and screams at them for a couple of hours.
Exactly. If we could outlaw that in West Virginia, and, you know, that's something for people that are listening in other states. You know, there are things that you could do in your very state that improve the rights of working people. And, you know, that's something that we've got, how many, 5 or 6 new Democratic governors?
Yeah.
It would seem to me that, you know, those states would be open to things like that. And, well, I think it's a very exciting time.
Well, it is. I'm looking for, I'm hopefully going to be glued to the television set tomorrow.
Well,
as this all begins. You know, because you know that the Republicans are not going to take this lying down.
Oh, that's all right. That's good.
No, they're going to take it lying, because lying is what they do, but not necessarily down.
They do. They're very good at that.
So, you know, they'll wail and they'll moan and they'll have. I imagine, Wayne, that they will have to be told to sit down and shut up more than one occasion.
Well, it's exciting too, and I mean, on a national level, we have more women involved, and I think women. Well,
yeah.
I think women are going to have a very good couple of years here. There's some awful smart women. I was just watching that. Who's the woman from Florida?
Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Yes. She's impressive. She's very impressive. She doesn't back down. She's not afraid to talk back to them.
Right.
You know.
And you know, our job is to make sure that these people who are strong and are good and are decent are able to rise above the whatever it is that goes on inside the Beltway in Washington, and
these
understand
are the people
and
that have to become the new leaders of the Democratic Party.
Right, and
you know,
and part of that,
it's time for him to take a back seat.
Yeah, but part of what you mentioned earlier was defunding the war.
Yeah.
I mean, if these Democratic representatives who we want, hope will turn into leaders, if they want to do anything, if they want to talk about health care, if they want to talk about what happens to employees in the workplace, if they want to fund a more activist or active or proactive labor department.
The first thing that has to be done is stop wasting all this money on a war that we cannot win.
Because until such time as that happens, the standard answer is going to be, we don't have the money.
That's exactly right.
A dear leader came out today and called for an end to earmarks in congressional spending. 7 years.
That would pretty much freeze their bank account.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, they could put the Republican money where the Iranian money's been since 1979.
Listen, man, we have to defund them and then let them become the drug dealers that they are anyway. You know, they've been growing a lot of heroin in Afghanistan.
Yeah, and I imagine that's
a lot of poppy, huh?
Well, I imagine there's some of that money on K Street too. You know, the
Afghan
Heroin Growers Association's probably hired Jack Abramoff's old firm.
I don't doubt that a bit. I don't doubt that a bit. But anyway. But listen, man, I'm going to have to run. I'm out of beer, and, you know.
That is a bad thing.
Yeah, that means I have to go to the store.
You know, 3 hours a night, I have to go without it.
Well,
you know, when I'm behind this microphone.
Like I've told you before, Bob, we all have our own cross to bear, brother.
That we do. We do indeed. But I, you know, as a great former president once said, I feel your pain.
There you go. There you go. Have a good evening.
All right, we'll see you, Wayne.
Bye.
Bye now. And onward to Peter calling from Tallahassee. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. Welcome. So glad to welcome to me. You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robertson and Falwell and Dobson without conjuring me. This is a known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robertson. after time, and it goes back for years. You know,
you told me tsunami and you sent me rain? What are you doing to me?
Well, you know, let's just talk a minute about his business ventures. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calovita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that read that pyramid Zelensky.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee mud mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, they did.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee mud mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line. Well, anyway, after being in business for about a year, they changed the whole business plan. It left thousands of people with garages full of...
Sea of Galilee mud masks.
Well, no, yeah, and coupons that the company refused to honor. And the outcome at the end was that the IRS investigated it, and the company was sold for $1. And it left Robertson and his partners $2.8 million in the red. God punked him. Okay? Let's move on to the Africa Development Company. This is a diamond mine. Now, there was a civil war starting out over there, and Robertson's stopped the operation basically after he found only industrial-grade diamonds. They were worth about $5 a piece. And the official losses that he stated were $1 million, but the unofficial estimate, he lost closer to $5 million in the jewels for Jesus. And moving right along, he had...
Because they look so much better on you after you've had your treatment with your Sea of Galilee mud mask.
And you know, there's, what are you going to do with industrial diamond? They don't make turntables anymore. Your diamond needles are kind of gone. But, you know.
Yeah, but there's always those saw blades for Jesus.
$5 a piece. And then there was Tega Farms, and this was from 97 to 2002. And it was a stable of racehorses, and it had, and there were some pretty famous racehorses in there. And
racehorses? Jesus is into horse racing now?
Well, you know, and it was Secretariat was in there, and several others. And so the New York Times read an article about Robertson's passions for horse racing, and that prompted a Category 5 conservative hailstorm. Okay, so Roberts had to put all the horses out to pasture, and it's unclear as to how much money he lost on that little venture. Then we have Powerline Oil. Notice how similar this is to all of Bush's failed ventures. Boy, if God talks to you, honey, you better duck.
Yeah, he may be good for some things, but business investment, not so much.
Punked. And here we're talking 98 to 2004. This is a refinery, and Robertson purchased it, and they were, you know, all doing fine. And then people see eye irritation, and the residents were all complaining, respiratory issues, and there was a grassroots movement in the area to block the refinery from expanding, and blah blah. There's a court injunction, and Roberts was forced to sell the land to an industrial park, and he recouped only $10 million of the $80 million he invested. He got punked. Okay. Okay.
Are you insinuating that God is Ashton Kutcher?
I'm insinuating that if God's talking to him, he's punking and laughing like hell, just like we are.
Hey, Pat, come here. I got another one for you.
I got another one for you. All right, then there's Robertson Financial Services, and this is a deal that has with the Bank of Scotland, and it was to create something called direct banking in the United States, wherever the hell that is. Oh, and by the way, all of these business ventures I'm mentioning, a hell of a lot of money came out of the 700 Club from the little old Social Security lady, blue-haired people. And okay, so Robertson gets on the air and blasts Scotland as being a dark place because of its tolerance of homosexuals, and the scheme just evaporated because Scotland went nuts. There were protests everywhere, and instead of getting the $3 billion he expected, he had to settle for a $3 billion buyout to cover his costs. Okay, got punked. Then there's Global Business Development Network. This is from 99 to 2002, and it's a venture with some low-level dictator. It's supposed to be like a Yahoo sort of internet portal sort of a deal, and it's, I think, in Malaysia. And so anyway, this guy, Robertson says that, announces it's got to do with China. That's where it was. It was China. And Robertson gets in the air and says it would be wrong for the U.S. to interfere with China's policy of forced abortion. Okay, well, this caused another hailstorm.
Eunice!
Conservative. And the website folded during an overseas that was in slowdown after 9/11. And this is totally undocumented. It's completely unclear how much of the $3 million was lost to recoup. Then we have Freedom Gold. From 98 to 2003, and here it was registered in the ever popular Cayman Islands.
Oh well.
Okay, and here he was in business with a guy named Taylor, who's like accused of...
would that be Charles Taylor?
Well, he was some kind of genocidal nutcase. He sold blood diamonds.
That would be Charles Taylor, former dictator of Liberia, I believe.
Okay, that's making sense. And he was been accused of abducting and raping and torturing and killing citizens and pressing children into work. And anyway, Taylor got deposed, and after the operation was mothballed, and the estimated losses were around $8 million. That's over. He got punked. And then there's what you mentioned, the Christian Heritage Center, 2006, which was called Jesus Land, and
it really was.
Really was, and they were supposed to have a Holy Bible Garden and an experience auditorium, and a hike for where Jesus would have walked, and roller coasters and Ferris wheels and on and on and on. Okay, so what does Robertson do? Israel conceded the Gaza Strip to the Palestinian Authority, and Roberts claimed that Ariel Sharon
had a stroke.
Yeah, right, and that it was holy retribution.
Yeah, that was a smiting,
which really ticked off the chosen people.
Yeah,
and they backed out of the deal, and Robertson lost. It's unclear, but he had invested $48 million, but it's the losses were it's unknown as to how much he actually lost. So it's just time after time after time. The man gets punked every time he turns around. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's incompetent. He's just like George Bush. There's not a lick of difference between them.
Well, yeah.
George had daddy to bail him out, and Robertson funds his crap out of the 700 Club.
Well, do you remember after it was the tsunami, the real tsunami?
Uh-huh.
After the tsunami hit a couple of years ago, if you went to the federal government website and looked for organizations to which you could contribute...
Oh, I do. Yeah, I remember.
The number two link was... I can't remember the name of the organization now.
I went to look for it when that was hit.
But if you dug on it, you found out that the board of directors... And it doesn't say Pat. It just says Marion Robertson.
Uh-huh.
But the Bush administration was directing donor dollars directly to Pat Robertson.
Okay, so then some of this money that was lost and invested in these ridiculous business schemes probably came from the taxpayers in addition to the 700 Club.
Sure, and recouped from people who thought they were donating to relieve the miserable people of Banda Aceh.
Liars, cheats. And I had a terrible experience today. I was in traffic, and I got behind this huge SOB. That's funny.
Yeah.
How funny was that? It was an SUV being driven by an SOB, no doubt. And the bumper sticker read, "I stand with George W. Bush." Oh, it took me off so fast.
Oh, how do you sit behind that in traffic and my foot slipped off the brake.
There were like three lanes, and so me and Doggy immediately whipped over to the side, and we were going to yell, "How's that working out for you?" But the windows were all up. They were all dark tinted, but you could see the passenger was like this white-haired little old lady, and God knows what was driving it.
These poor people.
Yeah, they were poor, all right. The SUV costs probably more than my entire house.
Oh, yeah, yours and mine put together.
Right.
You and me, we'd have to go get a bank loan to fill the damn thing up.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I was cringing at $40 to fill up the stupid van today. But I got to tell you, God does have a sense of humor, and he is talking to him, dude. He's just punking him. It's so funny. And so that's...
Here's the next idea, Pat. You're going to be the next Yahoo.
Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine?
Pat, Mary Kay's doing real good. What do you say you sell? See, you had me at Sea of Galilee mud mask. that's in the bank to stay now.
Uh-huh, Sea of Galilee mud mask and
removes your sins and the filth in your pores.
That's right. That's the only product mentioned by name. There was also American Whey. Oh, I get it now. One of the products is American Whey protein drink, spelled Whey.
Oh, that's the stuff that he drinks every day that makes him able to leg press 7,000 pounds.
Oh, I get it. Okay. Mm-mm-mm. The fun never ends.
Oh.
The investigations will start, and life will be lovely. I can't wait.
Well, sure, but my problem... So, we don't have any nuclear blasts in 2007 to worry about.
No. You can rely on that.
Because that's and see, that's the part that Pat's not telling us about. God told him about the didn't say nuclear, but it sure sounds like to one to me blast. So I'm sure Pat's already hot on the trails of a new marketing scam for lead armor of God pajamas for upstanding Christian children.
Oh, yeah. And this comes in the heels of other predictions that George Bush is going to be, so successful in everything he does. And it's just a huge, just another huge.
Yeah, he's going to win by a landslide in 2004.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yes,
miracle math. Landslide equals 51%.
Perfect example of well, how did the line go in the Bible? Go away, I never knew ye, or how does that read?
Something yeah, like that. Be gone, yeah. I knew ye not.
Buzz off, punk.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the merciful thing and use the lightning bolt.
No.
I'm just going to screw you a little bit at a time, for I am an angry God.
I want business investment at a time. Anyway, that's all I know, dude.
Honest to God, though, Peter, we could work Sea of Galilee Mud Mask for two more hours on this program. I mean, the potential for radio spoofs.
Well, that too, and also, the white, he could have sold those diamonds as the white, he could have sold those to what's-her-face, the big fat woman that eats whale meat, white diamonds,
Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, yeah, Elizabeth Taylor.
I was thinking more in terms of Jan Crouch. Or Rexella Van Impey.
Yeah.
Agnes saw Rexella on a promo last night on the television and wasn't good.
She's like the hookers from Christ, for Christ, right?
She looks that way.
She really does. Well, it looks like she had a bad night and gives change.
You're getting your own show. That's just all there is to it. You and Doggy.
I'm really a very bad person. I'm not sure if the network could survive. love you.
Oh, how do I thank you? I get Sea of Galilee mud mask and looks like a hooker who gives change. That's material for a week.
Honey, I've just been hanging around the
wrong people.
Yeah.
Or the right ones, as the case may be.
A long time. There's not much that's off limits for us.
Oh.
So you just have a nice day now, you hear?
Yeah, well, I'm sure going to try.
Okay. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Agnes and me, we've both got tears coming out of our eyes. I was blind, but now I see, and primarily it's because I washed off my Sea of Galilee mud mask. Thank you, Jesus. Pat Robertson, punked by God. Punked by God? We haven't the power to elevate Peter beyond where he already is. I mean, Peter's like the cardinal of the Head On Radio Network. What?
That's perfect.
This is just Sea of Galilee mud mask. And there are people all over America with garages full of it. And the thing is, it didn't come from the Sea of Galilee. No, it came from those god-awful diamond mines. There's probably human blood in it. To the same extent that, you were a kid about the same. You remember when Kiss put out the Kiss comic book guaranteed that the ink contained real blood of the members of Kiss?
Yeah.
About the same proportion. Sea of Galilee mud mask. But that's not all. That's not all. At some point in the program, I promise I will try to share with you the Christian Movie Watcher's Guide for We Are Marshall. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, it's all on the way.
Baby, this is prayer meeting, and I am Brother Bob Kincaid in the Cathedral of Common Sense. Come on down to the altar, 877-443-2366. We'll be back.
This is the Quality News Network. NBC News reports that President Bush will announce a surge of 20,000 troops to Iraq to help control sectarian violence. Most of the soldiers and Marines will have extended deployments or will be deployed sooner than planned. Many U.S. generals are opposed to a troop increase because they say it could result in an increase in U.S. casualties. They also fear that a short-term surge in troop numbers will not have a long-term effect on Iraqi violence. President Bush wants the new Congress to give the White House line item veto power. Bush is looking to control spending as the Democrats prepare to take control of the House tomorrow. A line item veto allows the president to cut certain spending from legislation without vetoing an entire bill. Looking to balance the federal budget by 2012, Bush is also asking Congress to extend tax cuts. The 110th Congress will be the first time in 12 years that the Democrats have controlled both the House and the Senate. Nancy Pelosi will become the first female Speaker of the House in U.S. history. Former President Jimmy Carter and former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld spoke at former President Gerald Ford's funeral today. Ford is being buried this afternoon next to his museum in Grand Rapids, Michigan. In the Plains States, the National Guard is dropping bales of hay down to livestock stranded in the aftermath of this week's blizzard. Colorado agricultural officials say the number of livestock perishing there is expected to break the 1997 record of more than 30,000 during a blizzard that year. In news around the world, in Baghdad, up to three people have been arrested in connection with the video recording of the Saddam Hussein execution. An advisor to Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki describes one person as, quote, an official who supervised the execution, end quote. Also in Baghdad, Saddam Hussein's two co-defendants are expected to be executed tomorrow. The prisoners are Saddam's half-brother and the former Chief Justice of the Revolutionary Court. In Indonesia, rescuers are still searching for the 737 passenger jet that disappeared 2 days ago with 102 people aboard, including three Americans. In Africa, U.S. warships are patrolling the Somali coast while Somali and Ethiopian soldiers hunt down Islamic militants. Kenya has armed its borders, shut them down to prevent the rebels from fleeing into the country. In Mexico, 3,300 soldiers and federal police are being sent to Tijuana to fight drug gangs, part of a drug cleanup effort by Mexico's new president. In recent years, Tijuana has often been used as a pipeline route for smuggling cocaine and other drugs into the U.S. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, next.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to 1 million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Chinese zoologists are celebrating a record number of panda births in 2006. 30 panda babies were bred and born in captivity. The panda is one of the rarest animals in the world. An estimated 1,590 of them live in the wild in China. New York City's Metropolitan Transportation Authority reports that the number one reason for train delays is because of fainting passengers. Most of those ill subway riders are dieters who have fainted because of dizziness. Toyota to create turn-off sensors in its cars, which will detect drunken drivers. The sensors, located in the steering wheel, will be able to detect high levels of alcohol in the driver's bloodstream through their sweat. The Wall Street Journal reports that Walmart has decided to schedule many of its 1.3 million workers based on customer traffic. They will put in new computerized scheduling systems to implement the changes. Home Depot CEO Bob Nardelli abruptly resigned today. He was criticized by investors lately for his large paycheck and poor performance of the company's stock. His severance deal is worth about $210 million. Nardelli was hired by the world's largest home improvement store chain 6 years ago. In trading today, oil has dipped below the $59 a barrel mark. Light sweet crude currently is trading at $58.28 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was up 11 points at 12,474, the NASDAQ up 8 at 2423, and the S&P 500 down 2 at 1416. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Christine Kendall.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Five and a half minutes after the hour. And let's see, what can we have for communion tonight? I got a can of spray cheese. And I got a I got a box of Wheat Thins with Rachel Ray on the cover. She could be our little Mary Magdalene substitute, couldn't she? How cool is that? With some EVOO. Let's go back to the phones. Our good friend Bob joins us from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Hello, my friend.
How are you?
I'm curious.
Okay.
I'm very curious. I mean, you know, I'm like Curious George, you know.
No. The chimp's in the White House, Bob.
Yeah, well, I have to know the answer to a question, okay?
No, I'll try.
Well, does God exist? Or do we think he exists? Or do you just think you exist?
You know, there's actually, that's all a very serious part of philosophical study, as
yes,
I'm sure you
is.
Know.
Yes, it is. And if you think you are someone, then you probably aren't anyone at all, are you?
Well, see, I know better.
Yeah, well, see, that's where the Republicans, they cannot even absorb that kind of knowledge, Bob.
Well, see, I think that's why they buy into an Earth that's only 5,000 years old, Bob.
Yes, of course.
Because if you take them and you put it in the scope of a 5,000-year-old Earth, they're still pretty insignificant,
Bob.
But if you do it in terms of a...
Bob, for a moment.
Go ahead.
Please, my friend.
Go.
Give me a moment.
Okay. All yours.
Okay. Stupid is as stupid does.
There's that, too.
Yes. Stupid is as stupid does. And these Republicans are dumber than a stump. You know, you talked about the stump liquor people.
Yep.
These people are worse than that, Bob. They're so dumb, they can't even... They can't get up in the morning without listening to Pat Robertson and his predictions for the future, because Pat Robertson talks to God. Well, hey, Bob, I talk to God every day, and
a lot of people do. The trick is that most people don't hear him talking back.
Well, hey, the thing is, Glenda tells me, please, Bob, don't call that dog, God damn it. And I just, every time he does something wrong, I say, God damn it, Darius, don't do that. You know, he says, you know, don't call that dog, God damn it. You know, and I says, well, you know, that's what I do. I mean, every time he does something, God damn it, Darius, don't do that. And it's just a dog. It's just a dumb dog. And, it's a dumb Republican doing this thing. It's, you know, they're so dumb, you say, God damn it, don't do that. And they keep doing it. And, you know, and I think, oh, wow, my name is God damn it.
Well, you know, there were the early years of my life, I thought my first name was Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ,
what are you doing?
Yeah, see, that's how it works. These people are so stupid, they don't even realize the person that's telling them, don't do that, people that care about them, love them, and you know, and have a you know, a personal touch for their life, and then the next thing you know, they're like you know, like George Bush, you know he was kind of sent off someplace when his Mamie and Pappy they buried his sister,
his baby sister. Her name was Robin.
Yeah, and they just kind of dumped her in a ditch and, you know, ran off to play golf.
Exactly. You know. You're not exaggerating. For those
no,
who don't
I'm
know,
not
it's
exaggerating.
No, they had the day they put that poor child in the ground, they had a golf date.
Yeah, and they went to play golf, and they left that poor Georgie Bush. He was sitting there wondering what happened to his little baby sister. You know, and they didn't care, Bob. You know, the wonderful thing about you and Agnes and your family that I have, it's endearing. It makes you people so special to me, is that you care about me. You care about my Glenda and my William and my family, and I care about your family. And I worry about your father, and I hope, and I pray in the depths of my soul, I pray that you have every moment with him, and is lucid, and you talk to one another and love one another, and just, you know, when he goes, he looks you in the eye and he says, "I'll see you on the other side, son." Like I would like to say to my sons, when I go, I want to see you there with me.
Yeah.
If there is another side, I don't know if there is, Bob. And this is prayer meeting night, is it not?
It absolutely is.
And it is Jesus Christ night, is it not? And if Jesus Christ is a real being, let him and listen to his words when he says to you, "Love thee one another as I have loved you." Listen to him when he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And listen to him. Don't listen to George W. pig-faced punk boy. Don't listen to those Anglicans. Listen to Jesus, because he told you the truth. If you would listen to him, maybe you could learn. But no, you're not Christians. You don't believe in Jesus Christ. You believe in yourself, and you believe in your SUV, and you believe that as long as you got your SUV, you can fly down your highway, and you can be happy.
Oh, you can be, yeah, you can be those people that Peter was talking about, a giant SUV that's drinking up gas, and I stand with George Bush.
Yeah, and I love George Bush because he's a godly man, okay? Bob, we're on Wednesday night, prayer meeting night. Well, pray for yourself and pray that you can wake up tomorrow with a brain. Please, people of the earth.
Well, what do you think of that poll that I mentioned earlier, Bob? 25% of people surveyed by AOL and AP think that Jesus is coming back in 2007.
Jesus ain't coming back.
No, but what do you think of the people who think that?
No, well, what do I think of them?
Yeah.
Okay, you want my honest opinion?
Yes.
Okay, my honest opinion, what I think of people that believe that Jesus is coming back in 2007 is they got their heads so far stuffed up their arse that they're just smelling the same thing over and over, and it's just the same old stuff, okay? And, you know, I was going to say the word, but, you know, you and Agnes and the Head On Network, you are righteous, you are decent, you are what I would call godly people, but no, I'm not going to do that because we do not claim God as ours. God does not belong to us. God is. We do not know God. we do not have any claim to God, and we have no, what do you call that, Bob? Huh? Did you go away?
No, I'm right here.
Okay. We have no, what is that, you know, kind of like, we are the godly people. No, we're just Democrats, Bob. And we just know that right is right, and decency is decency, and wrong is Republican. And, Bob, these Republicans, these Republicans, they are wrong, wrong, wrong. They have nothing to do with God. They have nothing to do with the universe. All they got to do with is their own greed.
Well, that goes back to what I was saying about them believing that the world's only 5,000 years old.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, okay.
Because if the world's only 5,000 years old and it's a young Earth, and it really didn't take billions of years to form layers of coal under mountains or pools of oil miles beneath rock.
No.
Then, well, right. Then all, you know, I heard you talking with John Fox a little bit earlier. All the stuff that drives you crazy about the global warming deniers comes straight from Christian dominionism. Okay, these things really do interconnect, Bob. I mean, I'm not just poking fun at people.
I'm not either, Bob.
I mean, we had the story. We had the story last week about the fact that the National Park Service is not allowed to give the actual scientifically calculated age of the Grand Canyon. The Bush administration has forbidden them from doing that.
I heard the show, Bob.
Right. So what I'm trying to connect here, Bob, is the fact that these so-called Christian dominionists and the Exxon people who put out who paid millions of dollars for studies that say that no matter what the damn thermometers say, the Earth isn't getting warmer. They're all of the same cloth.
Absolutely.
And they will destroy the lot of us in pursuit of that of you know, holy mammon, which is what you were referring to.
Yeah, that is the truth, Bob, and that's why I love you. I just love the truth that you speak, and these filthy beasts that we have to keep fighting and keep just denying their ugliness. We have to do that. Not for ourselves, Bob, because, Bob, you and I will be dead in the grave, but this planet is not dead yet.
No.
And we have we, the people of the United States, just like it says in the Constitution, we, the people of this United States, have an obligation to our posterity, to our children and our grandchildren, to continue with this nation, or die and destroy the planet with us. So go with George Bush, destroy the planet, be you know, connected with God, talking to God, and knowing who God is, because, Bob, I do not know who God is or what God is. I have no idea. But I do know this, that if God exists, he doesn't give a rat's patoot. Okay, the word is patoot.
Got it.
About us. Because he created this planet so long ago, he forgot it even existed. And he didn't give his son, because that's something that somebody came up with so many years ago that we don't even know when they came up with the idea. Oh, yeah, well, God created the Earth, and then, oh, poof, he created his son. And then, well, there was a virgin that gave a birth. Good God, Bob. Stop for a moment.
I know.
Just that. Okay.
The cracker that turns into human flesh when you eat it. That one just blows me away.
The cracker that comes. Okay, but I'm talking about the Immaculate Conception. Come on. Poof, poof, boom, boing.
Yeah.
I got bingo. I was at the parlor and I got bingo. I got up with $250. Come on. Stop and think about real science, okay? Science has proved that you cannot have a conception without a sperm and an egg, okay? And you're going to have an ejaculation in order to impregnate the egg.
That or a turkey baster. Mary Cheney proved that.
Okay, the turkey baster.
Now, see, Bob, you just made Agnes send coffee out her nose, and I got to tell you, it's not a pretty picture.
I love Agnes. I love her. She's a sweetheart.
That was like something out of The Exorcist.
I love her like a daughter, but, hey, listen, okay? God did not create the earth, okay? God exists, but he created the universe, and the earth kind of spun off into a kind of a funny little place where we came up with a George W. Bush as our
Well, yeah, it's kind of like it's kind of like what Charlie Rangel said a year or so ago that George W. Bush kind of puts the whole idea of white supremacy to rest.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He really does, because George W. Bush is not supreme. He's a punk. He's a booger. And I'd like to meet him out here in these high
plains. No, let's don't go there.
I'd like to meet him out in these high plains, you know, kind of like in the High Plains Drifter thing, you know. I'd like to meet him out here just for a little while, like Clint did with them boys.
You never did tell us your name.
Yeah, well, I don't have a name.
No. The Clint Eastwood thing. I know. I think you know it.
Yeah. But, hey, yes, God exists, but he doesn't exist for you. You Republicans. God does not exist for Republicans.
Nope.
He exists because he is. He does not exist for me as a Democrat. He exists. But he doesn't exist for us.
Well, Bob, I appreciate it. I gotta roll on, but thank you so much.
Well, hey, like I said, JF, okay, you know, John Fox.
Yeah, got it.
I said, you know, this planet does not belong to us. It belongs to the universe. So let's just respect our planet and just give it the love we give each other. And Bob, to you and Agnes and to your family, love, respect, and always strength, my son, strength, and be strong, and fight, and fight, and just stay strong for me.
We try.
You do a damn good job. I always listen to Wayne and, you know, and Wayne, I love him. I'd love to meet that man and just shake his doggone hand.
One of these days, when we're a fabulously wealthy, successful radio network, we'll have a big horn convention in the middle of the country, so everybody can come.
So you're gonna fly me out there?
Well, yeah, we'll fly you somewhere.
Well, yeah.
Wherever it is, we're having the big horn convention.
Well, take me up out of the damn coffin, because I'll probably be dead and gone.
We'll put you in a corner with a highball glass in your hand.
That would be nice. I would like that.
All right. Hey, Bob, you take it easy, okay?
Hey, to your father, I salute you. To your dear wife, I love you. And to you, my son, you are the best on the air, and you keep doing what you're doing. I'll talk to you later.
All right, we'll see you, Bob.
Okay,
later.
Bye-bye.
Let's keep this rolling. Oh, Lee. Hey, Lee, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Haven't talked to you in a long time. You all right?
Oh, I've been frustrated and depressed.
A little furniture kicking?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Just just about the country. Well, first of all, this thing about Jesus coming back in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to recognize him?
Well, you know, that's the problem, isn't it?
I suppose you could go around checking all of the mental hospitals with guys with straight jackets on and see if they're Jesus.
Or, well, you know, considering his ethnicity and everything, Lee, the first place you might want to go looks Guantanamo.
Well, yeah. But I don't know how you would recognize him. For one thing, he'd be deemed crazy. For another, that if he comes back in another virgin birth, there's going to be one pissed off husband. You know, we find out about that.
That's the truth. You know, that's why these fundies have to have the business of him coming in the clouds. I mean, he's got to come back with a golden rolls, and there's got to be horns and trumpets blaring and neon lights, because these people are too daggum dim.
Well, you see,
to recognize him.
That, yeah. I always thought that if there is a God, he find a way to, you know, make it known. It would be really, really obvious. I'm God. I'm here.
Yeah.
They really come back in the clouds in a golden SUV,
yeah,
or whatever. And if I see that, I will believe. But you know, onto something else. I'm really disappointed, frustrated, and depressed by pretty much the whole country and the Democratic Party for playing into George Bush's hands. What is wrong with these people? This guy, a month, maybe 2 months ago, he starts this Iraq study group of what he's going to do. Everybody knew what he was going to do.
Yeah, send more troops.
Stalling. Why in the world do you believe anything that the man says? I mean,
I honestly don't know the answer, because obviously you don't, and I don't, and most of the people listening to this program don't. We're not simpletons. We're pretty much eyes wide open kind of people.
That people are waiting, you know, with bated breath. What is George Bush going to do? I know what he's going to do. I'm not waiting for this man to say anything. If he says something, I'm not going to believe it. So I just don't get it.
Well, if he says anything other than we're sending more troops.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even if he said we're sending more, well, yeah, I guess I would believe that. We're sending more troops and more tax cuts for the rich.
Well,
told the truth a couple times.
Right. You know, I mean, it's like the business with the minimum wage. He said that he would support a minimum wage increase as long as it came with tax cuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's not going to come with tax cuts.
But all he ever does is lie and stall and continue on with his plan, like the Dubai port deal thing.
Oh, yeah.
They still own the doggone thing.
Sure they do.
And he just lies and stalls and hopes that the American public forgets. And unfortunately, we do forget.
Well, we do, and it's, you know, we hammer the media a lot here, Lee, and there's a lot of truth in the fact that I don't know that we so much forget as we have it taken away from us. Because, yeah, you know, the news cycle, they used to say it was a 24-hour news cycle. Sometimes I think that it's less than that now.
Yeah.
And whether it's what Britney showed or didn't show, or any number of things that are down the look. I mean, I think we've talked about that. There are more people who watch entertainment tonight than watch the news.
Yeah, well,
there are more people who watch entertainment tonight than read a newspaper.
Well, I just hope Keith Olbermann is getting more viewership now, because the guy last night was right on the money.
Yeah, he was. He's got it completely right, and by the same token, others do as well. You know, I've been this ceaseless, senseless Gerald Ford funeral that's been going on for a month now, I think.
Oh my God!
You know, it was days, if not a week ago, that I was pointing out that he was the midwife to every political problem we have right now. And lo and behold, I open the New York Times today, and there's Maureen Dowd saying what I said a week ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, over the past week, there's been three deaths, okay, that I think have been really, really played out wrong. One is, you know, first one was James Brown. Now, I'm black, and back during, you know, during the 60s, I believe he came out with the song Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud.
Right.
Now, that made a lot of people feel good and proud. It did me, too. But even at that time, I would watch him singing it, and he had his hair straightened. Now, how proud is that? You don't even like your own kinky hair. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud.
I never even considered that, Lee, but there's, yeah, that yep. Big old, that pompadour, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed it, you know, right away, and I'm going, well, what's wrong with this man? Now, he did make a song that really did influence me. I forget the name of it, but the main words were, I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll get it myself.
Yeah.
I liked that. But everything the man did was for profit. I mean, he didn't do anything for people. He did everything for profit. So, you know, I didn't like his music that much. But, you know, I guess he was a person that... he has a family. That,
well, you know what blew me away was the story that I received. I heard it secondhand, but I'd heard it mentioned before. You know, our good friend Mike Malloy at one point was carried on a radio station in Augusta, Georgia, and James Brown paid money to get Mike taken off the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so, I'm not going to sit and say, you know, that made him a somehow negated his life's work or anything, but...
What life's work? His life's work was making money. That's basically it.
And that's one of the things that a lot of people don't know, and again, secondhand, but from people that I trust, that, you know, the stuff that a lot of people thought were shenanigans on stage were code. When he would turn around and point at the sax player and go, "Ha!" The sax player knew that he had just been docked $200 for flatting a note.
Really? Well,
he's up there. I mean, there are some people out there that were really, really hard on and perfectionists and hard on their stage musicians. James Brown and Buddy Rich were among the toughest.
Well, I don't know. I just know that the guy, I don't know. There was just too much. I don't know, eulogizing of him. Okay, James Brown's dead. I'm sorry about that. Let's move on.
Well, you know, the thing I found out of the memorial service, the one that was held down there in Augusta, and everybody got up on stage and played and hammer danced and all of that stuff. Michael Jackson shows up.
Oh, I saw that.
And then and the guy who had the microphone said, "Come on up, Michael. Come on up. You know, dance, sing. You know, celebrate James's life. Blah blah blah." And Michael Jackson just sits there. Now, he knew that he had to know that would go on.
Yeah, he had to.
Now, on the one hand, I guess you could say that, he didn't want it to be about Michael. He wanted it to be about James. Okay, well, then what he did is the right response. On the other hand, you show up for something like that, you got to figure you're going to be called.
Well, Bob, maybe they wanted him to sing Say It Loud on Black Men Proud. That would be rough for him to do.
I was looking through the sort of the cutout bin at the music store the other day. A bunch of them were $7.50. I picked up $15. I picked up a 3-disc set of Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
For $7.50, I picked up the Best of Cheap Trick, and right there for $7.50 was Michael Jackson's Off the Wall album, which was brilliant R&B.
Yeah,
and you know there's that photograph of him on the front of the disc, and you look at it's like that's not the same guy that's flying around from Dubai. he has the temerity to come out and say, I've never had any plastic surgery.
Oh boy, that's a joke.
And that's you know that's the ultimate next step from James Brown's straightened hair, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, to get on to the second death, Gerald Ford.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. This guy, they say that he healed the country. No. He left a big, gaping wound that was festering and festering, and now it's full-blown again with the people
Lee, the words themselves that he used really did take me aback. He said, I disagreed with their justification for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's like saying, you know, they used a knife. I would have used a gun.
Yeah.
Now, these people are all, they will always show, they will always show their true selves in moments when they think that maybe the rest of us aren't looking. And, you know, our job, Lee, is to look.
Yes.
Because there's all kinds of stuff out there that if you just bother to take a look at the wording of it or the phraseology of it or over at Huffington Post today, Merrill Marco had a comment about George Bush's suits. And she said, I think what bothers me about George Bush's suits is the fact that they don't look like they've ever actually been worn. They don't look like he sat down at a table and had, you know, thought-provoking discussion. He looks like, she said he looks like, you know, just the letter, you know, bandbox perfect.
Yeah.
You know, everything's perfectly creased. Nothing's rumpled. Nothing's been lived in. And you know, there's a lot of truth in that, I think.
Well, there's nothing behind the eyes. I know that.
Right.
But if you go into the third death, the United States turned Saddam Hussein over to a lynch mob. I mean, that's exactly what it was. They turned him over to a lynch mob. And anybody that thought that trial was somehow fair, the lynch mob they turned him over to were the same people that tried him. Now, how in the world could you get a fair trial out of that?
Well, you couldn't, and it was never intended that there would be.
No. It was intended that he would get a quick death before they could really try him for something that would expose George W.
Well, yeah, look at
and Donald Rumsfeld.
They didn't even try him for the deaths that we supposedly went to war over. He
right.
gassed his own people. He wasn't tried for the gassing of the Kurds.
Right.
He wasn't tried for the so-called mass graves with the thousands of Shia in them.
And when's the last, at least in the United States and probably in other countries, you get tried for all your crimes. You can be found guilty of one crime and you have to go on trial for the next.
Well, look at what we did to what was his name, John Allen Muhammad. Remember the DC sniper?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, he got tried in Virginia and sentenced to death and then went to trial in Maryland or vice versa.
Right. Yeah.
And maybe going to trial in Alabama or there certainly was no hurry to get him into the gas chamber or onto the horizontal crucifix.
Well, who do you think probably suggested or mandated that he had to be hung within 30 days? I don't understand that.
I think that's
be hung within 30 days.
I think that stuff comes straight from the U.S. The Bush administration.
I think so too.
And in case I don't know if you noticed this or not, Lee, but we got another lynching coming. Oh yeah. Let's see. The story I ran across today. Headline from the Associated Press: Official Saddam co-defendants to hang Thursday.
Oh yeah.
They're going to hang his half-brother and the chief justice of his court.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of this stuff that's coming out now from the so-called Iraqi government about the hanging is just disgusting. You know, there's the chief prosecutor who said, well, I almost stopped the proceedings because they were taunting him. You know, emphasis on the word almost.
Almost.
Not quite. So
it was just a lynching. That's all it was. It was just a lynching. The trial itself was I don't know what it was.
When the executioners are wearing hoods,
yeah,
and screaming at you while they're killing you, that's a lynching.
Yeah, it's a lynching. And I don't know. That's pretty much all I wanted to say.
Well, Lee, it's good to hear from you. And I know how frustrating it is, and I know how depressing it can be. But you know, Wayne had it right a little bit earlier. We got to try to maintain some optimism, and I think there's some cause for it.
I don't know. I listened to Patrick Leahy last night, and it was kind of good, kind of upbeat. I think he's going to try to do what he, you know, what he should do, holding hearings.
Well, and see, the funding of the war issue, I think, has tons of opportunity built into it. Opportunity to save lives, opportunity to stop an overtly evil act. And what's more, if we defund it, we know darn good and well that George Bush will just go straight down the same old Reagan-Bush path. Yeah, and he'll keep funding it anyway. And then Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid will not be able to say anymore that impeachment is off the table.
Right. Well, that impeachment off the table, I've been hearing the pundits on TV saying that, well, you know, the Democrats won't impeach because they saw what happened when they impeached Clinton, and
yeah.
The Republicans took a beating in the next election when they impeached Clinton. Well, don't you know that that is a reason that they should impeach? Because what the Republicans did with Clinton would go against the public's will. The public was saying, two-thirds of them were saying, no, don't impeach him. They went against the public's will. This time, the public is saying, and it'll probably be two-thirds because, you know, that other third are just imbecile idiots. It'll probably be two-thirds saying impeaching. And they go against the public's will at their own peril. They were actually making a case for impeaching by saying that.
Well, the fact of the matter is Republicans go against the will of the people, Lee. That's their job. They went against the will of the people with Gerald Ford and the impeachment and prosecution of Richard Nixon. And once again, they're going to go against the will of the people with sending more troops into Iraq.
Yeah.
Going against the will of the people is what they do.
But the Democrats should not be going against the will of the people. And I'm not saying that they... I mean, anybody that says, are you going to impeach the president? I would have to say myself, how can you ask that question? I don't know what he did. What we will do is what the law and the Constitution says we will do. If he should not be impeached, he will not be impeached. Now, let's see what he did. I mean, that's basically how to answer that question. Not with impeachment is off the table. What, are you crazy? You're going to tell me that any prosecutor can say prosecution's off the table for that murderer out there?
Right.
No, we're going to see what he did.
Well, the fact is, and there, it was stupidly used with Bill Clinton. The fact is, by virtue of the operation of the Constitution, as I read it, Lee, impeachment is de facto on the table for every single person who becomes president of the United States, and it is on the table specifically because the Constitution provides that's how we keep presidents on their good behavior.
Absolutely.
That's how you keep them from committing war crimes. That's how you keep them from violating the law. That's how you keep them from drowning puppies in the middle of Pennsylvania Avenue.
And it would send a message to all future presidents that if you break the law, you will be impeached. And that's just it, period. If you break the law will take care of you.
Because that's the way we've designed this country to operate, right?
That's right. The very first thing that they should do tomorrow is a resolution in both houses on this signing statement stuff. They need to set the playing field. Let this man know you are not king. Your signing statements mean nothing. If you violate any law that you signed, if you try to go around any law that you signed, if you do anything illegal, you will be impeached. Period. Your signing statements mean nothing. You're not king. Take those statements, stuff them up your butt, because we're not even going to look at them. They should make that very, very clear. Those signing statements mean zero.
Well, I agree.
But
I'd love to. And that we simply don't know what will happen. The 100 hours, it's inspiring to see that the Democrats are in fact telling these weaselly little Republicans to sit down and shut up. Now, Are they going to do exactly what I think they ought to do? No, I don't think so, because among other things, in terms of like the minimum wage increase, the minimum wage increase needs to be a $4 increase effective immediately.
Absolutely.
If it's not absolutely. If it's not a $5 or a $10 increase.
$7 an hour is nothing.
But the thing is, the way it's being contemplated, if I understand correctly, it's going to be an increase of X amount of dollars, but it's going to take 2 years to get there.
Yeah, and by that time, inflation will overrun it anyway.
Right. I forget who it was that suggested it some several months back. The way to end this stupid minimum wage debate is to do the same thing we did with Social Security, tie it to the rate of inflation, and walk away so that Congress can't play politics with it anymore.
Well, I think it should be tied to Congress's pay.
Yeah, or that.
Congress should only be able to make a certain percentage above the minimum wage. That's it.
And every time Congress gets a raise, the minimum wage goes up.
Minimum wage has to go up. But we'll see. Well, basically all I...
All right, well, hang in there, Lee. It's good to hear from you. Like I said, we worry about people when we don't hear from them.
Right here, just really frustrated. It's hard to watch the evening news. It really is. But,
you get a little bit of hope when you see somebody like Olbermann.
Yeah. You and Agnes have a happy new year.
We're trying. You too, Lee. Take care. Bye. Bye now. I'm not kidding. We don't hear from people. We fret. Spike. Spike joins us from Easton, PA. Hey, Spike, welcome to the program.
Gonzo,
greetings.
How are you down there in West Virginia?
We're not freezing.
Yeah, luckily we aren't in Pennsylvania either. Knock on wood, I haven't bought oil since the first week of October. So.
Oh, man, that's like a raise.
Yeah. Well, I've been lucky. We've been hitting the 50s a lot during the day this winter, so basically the heater only needs to run at night, which has really been saving a bundle. So I know at my luck there's a cold streak coming. We're moving too far in the winter for it not to happen now. So hopefully it won't be that bad. But and by the way, I thought of you recently today with the whole Sago mine thing.
Yeah, the anniversary.
The anniversary, because I remember you were probably the only one on radio who really did a lot on that. That was kind of a. TV news exploited it the way they exploit all tragedies, but especially in the world of progressive talk radio, it was really an unspoken of subject. And
well, the sad thing is that that was Sago was only the most recent manifestation of something that this country's turned a blind eye to for a long, long time.
A very long time, yes. Well, the more we give corporations the right to do as they please because they lobby the laws. The longest this grows, and it isn't like this is just, it's easy to just blame the current administration for allowing this to go on a wide scale level, but it doesn't really matter which party has been in charge while this is just...
Well, there's a little bit of difference because, among other things, when you have a Democratic administration, you generally have a Department of Labor that actually will move in or on behalf of a working person once in a while. The Bush administration Department of Labor, Spike, is absolute. It's record setting in its ineptitude.
Well,
they've made one decision in 4 years, and they haven't had an oral argument in a labor case before the National Labor Relations Board in 6 years, maybe.
Yeah, that seems about right. Although keep in mind, if it's 6 years, that means it may have, unless we're talking right at the beginning of the administration, it kind of bled over from the other one. It just doesn't really matter who's in charge. The problem is no one that's an everyday person has run for president in a long, long time in American history. That went away with, I believe, the telegraph coming into power.
Despite the business with Gerald Ford and all the business about his humble upbringing and his plain beginnings and yada, yada, blah.
Yeah, he still came from privilege. I mean, people argue, Clinton forgot what being borderline middle class was a long time ago as well. When Bill Clinton was in college, he was already running with a much different crowd. So, in reality, it's been a long time since someone...
Well, I'll tell you, I was thinking of you the other day when I was talking about Gerald Ford and the pardon and everything, because the single best description of the sense of the nation when that thing went down was put forward by, you know, your hero, Hunter S. Thompson.
Yes, and in his obituary for Richard Nixon.
Oh, that yeah, that's just brilliant. But there, I think it's contained in the Great Shark Hunt, where or maybe Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail. I'm not sure which.
No, better than Sex actually has it as the final chapter.
Well, the Nixon obituary, but on the pardon. There's this segment where Hunter starts out the column with quoting himself screaming at 3 o'clock in the middle of the night. He did what? And I think the title of either that or an adjacent column is Richard Nixon has cashed his check.
Yeah.
You ever read it?
I read excerpts of it. I don't know if I've actually truly seen the whole unedited version, because I'm sure...
Do you have The Great Shark Hunt?
I don't have it. I had read it at once.
If you get a chance, you should go and have a look, because I think if I recall it correctly, the first line is, he did what? And then the next line starts with something like, that bastard.
Yeah, it would definitely be The Shark Hunt. That seems about the right time. Well, he wrote later on in an obituary piece for Nixon about how allegedly famous golfing partners for Gerald Ford had said that he admitted he would be going to hell for pardoning Nixon, which I wouldn't be shocked if he actually said something like that. I mean, to be completely honest, I think from other quotes I've heard out of him, I guess... He might have said some strange things like that, Nixon was at one time a loathsome character. You know, now we have an administration that makes him look great. You know, Pat Buchanan people used to joke on Leno and Letterman how farts fringe Buchanan seemed, and geez Louise, it seems like he sits in center field these days in comparison.
Yeah, for many of the wrong reasons.
Yeah, well, it's just... It's
I mean, scary. You know, Pat Buchanan still thinks Hitler was a cool guy.
Yeah, well, it's kind of scary that he seems more reasonable than our administration in charge. You know, when you'd rather let the Nazi Party run the show than perhaps the Texans, what's that telling us about the Lone Star candidate for the presidency who grew up in New England, you know? But,
right.
And the more famous death that really has gotten me going this week is the whole Saddam Hussein thing. You know, the biggest reason they pushed to execute him within 30 days is so they didn't have to deal with that over 70 no capital punishment clause that was about to go into effect in Iraq.
Oh, what?
Apparently, at the end of January, from what I've heard, there's going to be a clause in their constitution they've put up to make it look like it's going to be a kinder, gentler Iraq, saying that they can't execute people over the age of 70, which, by the way, would be a more reasonable law than what many states in the United States of America have in place. And
yeah, we don't care how... Well, I mean, there are people who have been on death row who have been taken to the hospital and revived.
Yeah. Well, there have been people that have...
So that they could later be executed.
There's someone executed in the state of Texas who was legitimately mentally challenged.
Oh, several.
Yeah. Well, then again, they had a governor who was questionably mentally challenged. So I guess, you know, they feel that they equal status then.
Well, you know, there's the anecdote about George Bush. It's not an anecdote. It's a report. It's true. It's eyewitness about the execution of Carla Faye Tucker. Clergyman came to George Bush as governor of Texas telling him that if anyone deserved not to be executed, if anyone deserved to have their sentence commuted to life without hope of parole, it was Carla Faye Tucker, who had really turned her life around. And after he had refused and turned a deaf ear to them, he made jokes about it. He said, oh, yeah, you can just imagine. Oh, please don't kill me. I mean, he did that, Spike.
Yeah, well, and that brings me to why I did something, I guess, seemingly overly controversial. I watched that footage, and let me tell you, if you really want to see what the quote democracy that we brought there is, you have to see it. And I'm in no way going to actually plug my site, but I actually posted it on my site because I personally feel if you want to see just how horrific it is, you have to watch it. And a lot of people got mad. How dare you show something like, oh, that's I got lambasted by people who are normally on my side, some local blogs over that. And
That it was tacky or
Because I guess because that idiot drudge cut and pasted first, it's seen as like only the right can do it. And I feel personally, you want to see, first of all, why, you know, everyone, usually, I'd say 98% of people who are for the death penalty probably never seen someone actually being killed.
Yeah.
I think, first of all, if you're against the death penalty, this is the strongest evidence why you should be against it. Another reason, the administration has given us basically the line that when he's got dead and gone, there's no reason for us to be there. Well, look, we have video proof. There's no reason for us to be there anymore. And like I said, most importantly, you can see this was no, as heinous as perhaps the idea of capital punishment is in this country, they aren't all wearing masks to hide their identity. And by the way, I thought it was kind of ironic, then they offered Hussein one, and he refused it, so the only man who was actually clearly identifiable in the room was him, although on, I think Sky TV had footage, there was one person off in the background, the distance, the cell phone didn't catch without a mask, but everyone's blurred them out.
Yeah, right.
I don't believe they blur out the faces of the people who do the executions in this country. So who are we protecting? Who are these people that were behind it? You know, this is a very questionable...
Well, again, going back to my conversation with Lee, when you've got to have a hood on and you are screaming at the condemned, you know, it's not what you and I call it. It is by definition, it is by virtue of their conduct, a lynching.
Yeah, they just didn't have a burning cross. Cause, you know, it's slightly, you know,
no, that's only because they don't use them.
And their hoods are black instead of white. And that's basically what we just brought to them. We brought them the Muslim version of the Ku Klux Klan. And by the way, I also put a little quote up there saying, you know, it would be nice, though, if Donald Rumsfeld was next. You know, because if I gave a gangbanger in Easton a gun and he went out and shot up the town and robbed a bunch of people and raped people, I'd be hung as high as possible in Pennsylvania for enabling someone by arming them. Yet Donald Rumsfeld's going to get a free pass. I guess they are perks to being a former Secretary of Defense. You know,
I'm guessing in another couple of years, Rumsfeld's going to start getting the Kissinger treatment. You know, Kissinger can barely leave the United States anymore.
Yeah, unless it's to Israel, the only foreign nation that...
Don't forget, he's welcome at the Papal See now.
Right, well, any place where there's religious fanatics, I'm surprised he hasn't been to Tehran lately. That bordered on being an Ann Coulter type one I just busted out.
Yeah, careful.
Yeah. But
no, see, it applies to Kissinger, and in that case, Spike, it's got the element of truth to it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm not kidding. It was in the news, a week or so ago. Kissinger has been named an official advisor to the Pope.
Well, then I guess Christianity is going to go down the road and make some erroneous moves and turn out to be completely wrong, kind of like going into Iraq where he advised Richard Cheney. but then again, this guy just puts himself anywhere to promote himself. As much as people might not like Christopher Hitchens, I think if anyone has put together a more damning case against him of all people, it's him. And he more or less really put together this big piece about the... In a way, Nixon was taking the blame for what Kissinger was up to, because Kissinger was working on this long before Nixon came along, his quest to screw up the entire world and, you know, put the United States in a much different role. You know, and it was 68, he was advising both sides. You know, he was sticking so that no matter who won, he'd have a job. And that's who he thinks about first. He's the Roger Clemens of foreign policy, you know. It's all...
Oh, that's cold.
Well?
I mean, accusing Kissinger of being Roger Clemens.
Well, hey,
of course, I'm a baseball fan, so...
Yeah, well, to make another sports reference, I guess it's better to be compared to Roger Clemens than Mike Tyson. But,
No, please. I left the Tyson story alone, Spike. Sometimes there are stories out there that occasionally just seem like piling on.
Yeah, well, I just, if nothing else, it's always a good excuse to imitate him. That's my favorite part about Tyson, is imitating him. And
see, anyway, I won't do that.
Very good, you know. But you know, you'd be emancipated to think of something, think so diaboloical like that. But and that's my favorite too.
He's gonna find where you live, Spike.
I live in a town where Larry Holmes is here, so I think I have a former champ who might have my back if Mike Tyson comes looking for me. You know, I could create this little protect your hometown peep thing.
All right, well, Spike, we got to roll. Good to hear from you, man.
All right, you too.
Take it easy. All right, we're at the top of another hour. We'll be back. Jump in if you want to join in. 877-443-2366. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. At least one out of three suspects has been arrested in connection with the video recording of Saddam Hussein's execution. An advisor to Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki says one of the people is an official who supervised the execution. Saddam's two co-defendants are expected to be executed tomorrow. The prisoners are Saddam's half-brother and the former Chief Justice of the Revolutionary Court. Mr. Bush is expected to announce his new strategy for Iraq as early as next week. NBC News reports that he'll announce a surge of 20,000 troops there to help control sectarian violence. Most of their tours will either be extended or they'll deploy sooner than planned. President Bush wants a new Congress to give the White House line item veto power. That would allow him to cut certain spending from legislation without vetoing an entire bill. Mr. Bush also says he wants to balance the federal budget by the year 2012 and has asked Congress to extend federal tax cuts. When the 110th Congress convenes tomorrow, it will be the first time in 12 years that Democrats have controlled both the House and the Senate. The five-year budget plan will be presented to Congress next month. Also next month, the Pentagon is expected to request another $100 billion to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan over the next 9 months. On Capitol Hill tomorrow, Congress is expected to launch a 100-hour legislative agenda. That agenda includes discussing raising the minimum wage and making college tuition and prescription drugs more affordable. The FBI has released documents detailing abuse of prisoners at Guantanamo Bay similar to the abuse discovered at Abu Ghraib. Some officials testified that the abusive techniques were specifically approved by former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and the Pentagon. In Grand Rapids, Michigan, after six official days of mourning, former President Gerald Ford was laid to rest today. He was buried in his hometown next to his presidential museum. President Jimmy Carter and former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld spoke at his funeral. In Britain, officials say two more people have shown signs of exposure to polonium, the poison that killed former Russian spy Alexander Litvinenko in November. That brings the total number of people exposed to 13, including Litvinenko himself. And in Indonesia, bad weather is complicating search efforts for the passenger jet that disappeared 2 days ago. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Chinese zoologists are celebrating a record number of panda births in 2006, just over 1,500. 30 panda babies were bred and born in captivity. Pandas are one of the rarest animals in the world. Toyota says it will create turnoff sensors on the steering wheels of its cars to keep drunken drivers off the road. The sensors can detect alcohol levels by analyzing the driver's sweat. Ford says it will abandon the minivan market this year and concentrate on so-called crossover vehicles like the Edge. Ford sold less than 50,000 of its minivan Freestar in 2006. The president and chief executive of Earthlink has died. Gary Betty was 49 years old and suffered from cancer. Home Depot CEO Bob Nardelli abruptly resigned today with more than $200 million in severance pay. That follows criticism by investors for his large paycheck and poor handling of the company's stock. Mortgage applications rose 3.6% last week. The week before Christmas, the number of applications tumbled 14%. The manufacturing sector expanded more than expected last month, registering at 51.4. Light sweet crude settled at $58.24 today, and at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 11 points at 12,475, NASDAQ up 8 at 24.23, S&P 500 down 2. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
5 and a half past the hour. Another hour in the can and another yet ahead of us. You heard the phone call. You know what to do with it. If the it's Wednesday night. It's prayer meeting. If the Spirit moves you, why flop on the floor when you can pick up the phone and call? I want to go directly back to the phones. We're joined right now by someone I've heard a lot about through our mutual friend, Sarge. Sean Ryan from Nova M is with us. Sean, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, Sue. Thanks for taking my call there, Mr. Kincaid. How are you doing
today? Just Bob. Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
This is looking like a rather impressive and heartwarming effort that is underway here, and I just want to let you know that I'm tickled to death that what's going on our end can be a part of the effort that you, Sarge, Nova M, UnreportedNews.net are all making in terms of trying to make a real difference down there in the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Well, you know, it's our pleasure to help out. You know, we're just people helping out people.
Well, that's the truth, but it's something that seems to have been in extreme scarce and short supply down that way.
And I can't figure out why that is, you know. And maybe with some media spotlight on the situation down there, maybe we can maybe together we can all figure out why we got citizens down there just, you know, being left out in the cold, as it were.
Well, exactly that. Tell us a little bit about how things are shaping up out Arizona way.
Well, we're making the official announcement on what we're doing on Friday the 5th. And through Jimmy Anson, we put together a list of the 15 most needed items down in Jackson County. And it seems like stuff that we take for granted, but it's pretty important stuff down there. Sheetrock, roofing, shingles, and felt. 2x4 studs, refrigerators, stoves, washers, dryers, furniture, chairs, couches, you know, things we all kind of take for granted.
Right.
You know, that it just seems like, you know, I mean, we've got a couch and we don't even think about it, but, you know, there's a ton of people down there don't even have a couch.
Well, and it's part of the, we've discussed this at some length, Sean, it's part of the disposability culture that we have created in this country. I mean, here in a little tiny state like West Virginia, it's fair to assume that maybe as many, 25, 50 refrigerators, stoves, couches, you know, the furniture company, the appliance company comes to your house with their truck. They take out your old one and they put in the new one. And the old one, it's not like we're getting rid of it because the old one doesn't work anymore.
Right, exactly.
And those things, if we coordinate it properly, those things can go into good and much appreciated service in a place where it is desperately needed.
Oh, desperately is just the understated word in that situation.
So you're arranging shipping out there in Arizona, Sean?
We have. I've made arrangements. The U-Haul Corporation has been good enough to donate for our usage for this, to bring all the items down there. Three 26-foot trucks to bring all the donated items from Phoenix down to Mississippi.
That is just amazing. So are you going to be behind the wheel? Is it going to be
I'll be driving one of them, and I'm sure that I'll be able to find some other drivers. I know that one of the hosts for one of our weekend shows is going to follow behind in a support vehicle to drive all the drivers back to Phoenix.
That is that's an amazing logistical effort there. What's happening on your end? Do you anticipate that most of it is going to come from just regular folks, or are you out there beating the bushes? I don't know if I'm even allowed to say beat the bushes in America anymore. Are you talking to corporate people or big box stores, that kind of thing? How's it working out for you?
Well, we're trying to reach out to the people at first, and then having the people that are at their jobs try and see what they can do through their jobs, through their employers. I'm going to shoot some emails out to I was going to shoot one out to the president of Home Depot, but I see he just resigned and took a big paycheck, so I have to maybe shoot one off to Lowe's.
Right, exactly. And, we've talked a little bit about the manufacturers of these, you're right, we don't think about things like tar paper and roofing shingles and 2x4 studs and sheetrock. But there are, we've got plans here to try to, there's actually a manufacturing plant, sheetrock manufacturing, not too awfully far from here. We're going to try to make contact with them and see if we can go right to the source and get some help.
Oh, that'd be great. I bet I could reach out to my people at U-Haul and get a truck donated up there to one of you guys want to drive it down to Mississippi.
That would be great. I think, I think this represents a real opportunity to show what it really looks like when people do community oriented grassroots ground up not charity but philanthropy and just plain old fashioned outright caring about one's fellow human being.
Well, it just kind of it goes back to the old days of just people helping people. Those days seem to be in the rearview mirror back in the 20th century.
Yeah, back.
I don't know why that is.
Well, back when in the Clinton administration, the FEMA director had been elevated to a cabinet level position as opposed to what it is now. And maybe I'm sure George Bush would say that this is not the time to play the blame game. But the fact of the matter is, Sean, the federal government, we should be, because the federal government's you and me. It's we the people. We should be more competent at this. But we're in a position where this thing is trying to come together, and I think it'll be absolutely brilliant, not if it does, but when it does. So, are you setting up collection centers out there in Arizona?
Well, what I've done was we're gonna have a couple storage containers on our property at the radio station at 824 East Washington Street in Phoenix, and we're gonna have two storage containers, and then I'm gonna have access to a moving truck one day a week for folks that can't bring big items down to the station. One day a week, I'll be able to go around and collect these items, bring them down, put them in the storage containers, and then have a big truck packing party on the 10th of February. We plan on leaving on the 12th of February and hope to arrive on the 14th of February, Valentine's Day. That's the plan.
So that moving truck is a wonderful idea. So you'll go out, what, just generally the Metro Phoenix area?
That's correct. In the Phoenix metropolitan area.
The one thing that I've been thinking about, because both Nova M's and the Horns programming reaches out to not just the entire nation but the globe. I'd love to figure out some way logistically to make it possible for people to get those replaced items down there as well. Have you done any thinking outside the Phoenix box, as it were?
Well, if people want to send in Home Depot gift cards, because that's where we can obtain pretty much everything that's on this list,
mm-hmm.
except for we've got stuff that we need funds for groceries for senior citizens. We're both the senior citizens are on disability, and they've got all this damage to their houses. There's costs to turn on electricity in rental units. The power company down there needs at least a $90 to $140 deposit per household. There's medications needed for senior citizens that are on fixed incomes. You know, there's a big need down there.
Yeah, so there are a lot of...
And the Jackson County Community Services Coalition is a 501c3 nonprofit.
So, yeah, everything that's donated is tax deductible.
That's right. So, you know, if, you know, the listeners don't feel like giving their money to the government, there's a perfect place to put it.
Absolutely. And you know that it's not going through 19 layers of bureaucracy and it's actually getting the job done.
It's going right to the people that need it.
Exactly.
Not going through 18 filters and 18 committees. It's going straight to the people that need it.
Well, exactly, because one of the things we've discussed, because there are people involved with the program and listeners and so forth who know how these things work, one of the reasons the government response didn't work is because of the whole privatization theory of the current administration. So you let out a contract to a guy who lives in Alexandria, Virginia, who hires a subcontractor but takes some money off the top. The subcontractor takes a little more money off the top and hires a sub-sub. And it has,
it's almost like that old hair commercial, you know, they hire two subcontractors and they hire two subcontractors and on and on and on.
Unfortunately, it works in the reverse direction, though, and you wind up with nothing.
That's exactly it.
Well, Sean, best of luck as you make the announcement. We'll certainly be happy to coordinate with you, and please keep in touch with us. Let us know any further developments. Let us know any plans, any expansions of plans. And we will try to coordinate what we can with you, and hopefully get not just some relief, but a bunch of relief to a bunch of people who, honest to God, truly deserve it.
And I appreciate you giving me some time on your show. If I could throw my contact info.
Absolutely. I'm sorry.
My email address is sryan@aaphx.com. If you want to help, send me an email. We'll work out the logistics. That's never seems to be a problem.
Okay, and that's your last name, R-Y-A-N?
That's correct.
Okay, sryan@aaphx.com.
That's correct.
All right, great. Sean, thank you so much, and again, best of luck, and please keep us posted.
You bet, Bob. Thank you very much, and I want to thank your listeners as well. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're more than welcome, and it's a pleasure to be associated with you in this effort.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye now. From Nova M Radio, Sean Ryan. His email address is sryan, S-R-Y-A-N, at aaphx.com. And frankly, I have tremendous hope that we can make a real and meaningful difference. You know the logistics of getting this. He's done a brilliant job with the U-Haul Corporation getting those 26-foot straight trucks, and that will carry a lot of relief. It's kind of like an internal American progressive Marshall Plan, it's almost like the Berlin airlift. Because there is so much yet to be done, so much yet to be accomplished. And the neat thing is, if they can just get the materials, they can get the labor, the volunteer labor, to get the work done. And that alone is profoundly inspiring. Jim Yancey, who has been on this program a couple of times, who is doing... And I don't say this lightly. I don't say it with my tongue in my cheek. I don't say it facetiously. Doing God's work there in Jackson County, Mississippi. He's gone out and he's gotten warehouse space. You know, you think of things like shingles and tar paper and sheetrock. You can't leave it out in the rain. And he's got a place to put it. So all we have to do is figure out a way to get it there. And I know that from time to time, I have mentioned, you know, well, for instance, White Rose Society, Ben Birch, he operates strictly on a donation basis. And we talk about worthy causes, and we talk about places. If you, you know, if you can forego going to a movie this weekend, send the $15 or whatever this way or that way. This time, it's even bigger. It's a matter of it's a matter of not just changing lives, but saving lives. What Jim Yancey, what you've heard him say on this program is true. It cannot become a project. It cannot become an industry. I've repeated that on a number of occasions. I have done so because it is so very true and so very critical that we all comprehend that. You know, a broken government let Katrina happen. How much warning did the Bush administration have before that storm hit? A lot. And yet it was still, the negligence was so gross as to still allow what happened to happen. And no, you know, FEMA has been sucked up inside the Byzantine nightmare that is the Department of Homeland Security. And it is inept, and it has to be fixed. Won't be fixed anytime soon. FEMA will not be ready for the next natural disaster, whether it's an earthquake or a tornado or a hurricane. FEMA will not be ready. It won't be fixed until there is a Democrat in the White House, frankly. Because you see, the FEMA recovery, from the standpoint of the free marketeers and the privatizers and the business knows best types, the FEMA recovery worked just perfectly. Makes you want to bang your head into a wall when you contemplate it, but I kid you not, they think it worked perfectly. Because business made out like a bandit on the recovery from Katrina. You've seen the reports. $2 billion of disappeared money. I mean, these guys are pros. L. Paul Bremer sat down on the couch at the Coalition Provisional Authority in Baghdad, and $9 billion fell between the cushions. Michael Chertoff at Homeland Security sat down on the Homeland Security couch, and $2 billion that was meant to rescue people whose lives had been upended and utterly, completely destroyed, forever altered, just poof, disappeared. And you know what? It didn't disappear paying people $5 an hour to get the work done. There are new SUVs or new little spiffy roadsters going up and down the road that ought to have vanity plates on them that just say FEMA. There are remodeled kitchens and built-on rooms, and the door ought to have a brass plaque on it that says, the FEMA room. Because you see, when you let private business do this stuff, private business, sunshine, wants a cut! There are just some things in this world, some things in this life, in which private profit motives have no business. And when you are messing with the very existence, the meager existence of people who have just ridden out the horrors of something like Katrina and the levee break that followed it. Well, I take a dim view of the church's the definition of sin, but you know what? I don't have any problem at all in saying that, by God, is a sin. It is a sin to make money off of the desperation of others. Let's go to the phones. The guy who helped, who is helping all this to happen, Sarge, is with us. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bob. And isn't Sean a wonderful fellow?
He's a great guy.
Let me tell you something else the man has done that doesn't get nearly the attention that it should. But they had a homeless person freeze to death several weeks ago down over in Phoenix.
Oh, Jesus.
And Sean found, he drives a cab as a second job, first job, whatever. And he came in the next day to the station and he said, let's collect blankets and take to the homeless. And you know, they've collected hundreds of blankets and Sean's taking them out. And now the homeless in Phoenix see Sean coming and they say, there comes the blanket man. So he's done a lot of good work. Sean is just a humanitarian of the best kind.
Well, you know, the idea that there would be someone out there that folks who don't have a roof over their heads at night could call the blanket man is moving in the extreme, Sarge. Unfortunately, we're a little short of blanket man around the rest of the country.
We sure are, man. We sure are. And
we, you know, we've let these punks and thugs in the White House make it that way. Yeah, I know.
That's why I say we've got to support sites like mine, unreportednews.net, all these other sites, Spike's blog, all of these. We need to support these because these are where your news is really going to come from. It's not going to come from MSNBC. It's not going to come from ABC, NBC, and all the rest of the alphabets. It's going to come from us, the people. And it's people like Jim Yancey, Sean Ryan, Dr. Newcomb, yourself. You know, it's going to come from us. We have got to be the news media ourselves. We can't sit back and say, what's wrong with the media? We have just got to say, okay, the media's bought off. We've got to step up and do the job.
Well, that or the job doesn't get done, Sarge. It's as simple as that.
That's right. And, I'm lucky I did work with a newspaper for 8 years, so I got a little inside view of how they operate, and I know how they operate. And believe me, if an advertiser says, I don't like that story gets killed. And it gets killed in a hurry. So that's why we've got to stop depending on our media. We don't have the free media in this country. 54th is our ranking now?
Yeah, 54th in terms of free speech.
And we've got to stay alert. We've got to read these blogs, Liberal Oasis, Truth Out, you know, all of these.
You remind me of something. Let me throw something out there real quick because I know a lot of people go here, and I was specifically asked to do that. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to interrupt, but...
go ahead.
I know you and many others have been over to WD40.com,
right.
very one of the longest running friends we've had of the program. Clyde and Wally and Dookie and Ed and all those guys do a whale of a good job. I got an email from Clyde today, and he asked me to please announce that WD40.com, WBYAD40.com, is down right now. For some reason or another, it's crashed. But he says they will try to have it up by the weekend. But all, you know, just like everybody else, everybody's working. Everybody's trying to keep keep the lights on.
Right.
So it may take a little while to get that thing get it back up and running. But they will, because it's one of the most informative, useful, and enjoyable websites that's out there.
It is. It's a great site. I've been to it many times, and I'll tell you something else. I've communicated with Clyde a few times. And there's another good person. He wanted to get together and put a Christmas effort out to send the children down on the Mississippi coast Christmas presents, because so many of them would not have much for Christmas, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks to the government and the problems of finances, we wasn't able to do it.
But I'm sure when this effort is mentioned and brought to their attention, I'm sure that they will bring their website into the fray as well. I won't speak for them, but I know what kind of folks they are, and I know that they will help any way they possibly can.
Well, you know, just, we've already had so many people speaking out. There's people in Austin that's doing a wonderful job. You know, Cassie and Betsy and TSM and all them. Those people are picking up the ball and running with it. And you know, that means so much. If you guys had the contact with Jim Yancey that I do, because a few days ever passed that I don't speak to Jim, and you can just tell it in his voice that we are giving the man strength. And he is feeding off of this, and it's just meaning so much to him. I've seen that man. I've called him at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he will have already been hard at work. And I'll call him later that evening at 9 o'clock, and he's still on the job. I mean, this man is giving everything he has to this, and you know he's got to be burned out. You know it's got to be taking its toll on him, but he just keeps on going. And this effort, I think it's so good because if nothing else, we have given people hope, and we got to have hope in this country because that is what this country is built on. This country was made from hope.
Yeah, it was, and it's a hope for a meaningful future. And right now, I won't speak for you, and I won't presume to speak for anybody down there. But the future is something that doesn't get talked about a whole lot, does it?
No, the future is something that is just, it's a pipe dream, right? That's all it is. It's just a pipe dream because you can't really look into the future when you're worried about just getting through the present. I mean, you think about it, when people have their FEMA trailers to where it can be broke into just as easy as if there wasn't a lock on that door. When you know that FEMA is likely to say you're out of here the very next day, you can't grasp such an idea as tomorrow, because every day is a tomorrow, you know, and you just don't have the means to think past that. It's just, you know, I talk to the people down there, and you can see the desperation, you can see the overwhelmed. It's the steamroller is running over these people, mm-hmm. You know, and the steamroller is the government. It's not society, it's the government. You know, the steamroller is supposed to be society issues rolling over the people, but it's not. It's the government, for God's sake.
Yep.
And this is,
and it ought not be that way, because we're supposed to be the government.
Yes. Bob?
Yeah, right here.
Okay, someone's trying to call.
Yeah, I think you're getting beeped at, Sarge.
Yeah, but anyway, that's why I'm telling everybody, if you can't donate something, if you can't send in money, you don't have to. Pick up your telephone, email your senators, your congressmen, do it every day.
Wear them out. Wear them out.
And tell them, we want something done down there in Mississippi. We want this investigation to move forward. If you can't do anything else, do that. Bob, I'm going to go, and thank
All right.
you so much.
Well, Sarge, thank you. Thank okay. you very much, and thank you for putting Sean in touch with us and vice versa.
Oh, I'm just, this thing is so great. I'm just happy that it's working. I hope that maybe we're making a difference.
Well, I have to, and this is, you know, this isn't faith. This isn't faith in something that you can't see, can't touch, can't feel. These are a lot of caring, committed, decent, wonderful, warm-hearted, kind human beings, and those kind of people, I'm willing to put faith in.
Well, that's what America was built on again. You know, that's America, and it's time we get it back. Thank you, Bob. I'll talk to you.
Thank you, Sarge. You take care. A message, Agnes?
Yes, from Steady
and Arbor. Okay.
Oh,
wow, yeah, our good friend Steady and Arbor, they're up in Oregon, and they wish a Happy New Year to Sarge, and they say hello, and they say hi to everybody else. Haven't heard from them in a while, but they're living the green life.
Very, very.
And that is really cool. That is really admirable. I tell you what, let's take a little break. You know what? I've got a new nickname.
You know what they're calling me now?
No Break Bob.
No Break Bob. I don't know. Give me a minute. I'll work on it. How about Filibobster? No, what? I'm kidding. Filibobster. I don't know. That's got real potential, doesn't it? All right, we will be back. This is the Head On Radio Network. Got anything to say? Better get it said. We're running out of time. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, Head On. Be right back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the U.K., and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
She ain't all that
it slow. She takes me everywhere I want to go. Been seeing these new vehicles running round. Ain't got no trunk to stand way up off the ground. Now I know they was made for climbing mountains and driving in the snow. But everyone I see trying to run over me when I'm going to the grocery store. I'm sick of these FOBs. They're driving these SUVs and trying to run over me when I'm in my beat-up car. I'm sick of these FOBs. They're driving these SUVs and trying to run over me when I'm in my beat-up car. Wait a minute. What you're driving, nobody has to drive that damn fast. Where could you possibly be going? Now I can remember when I could name every car on the road. You had Cadillacs, Chevrolets, Buicks, Pontiacs, Lincolns, Chryslers, and Fords. Now everybody's driving SUVs and they all look the same. Mountain monsters and land eaters, all kind of old crazy names. Now if my old car left me down or somebody decides to steal, I ain't wasting no time going straight to the top. I'm buying an 18-wheeler. I'm sick of these SOBs.
Man, I love that.
SUVs, and trying to run over.
All right, 19 and a half minutes before the hour. Because you don't have a clock. Time checks. Okay, a couple of things, and I'll bet you you'll hear more about them here shortly. Just a couple of profoundly disturbing things in today's news. You know, the screaming stuff. FBI headline from the Associated Press. FBI details possible. Want one of those headline writing jobs? I want it. Just walk into work, take a hit of acid, and sit down and start writing headlines. FBI details possible, maybe, sort of, kind of, you know, not sure about it. FBI details possible detainee abuse. FBI agents documented more than two dozen incidents of possible mistreatment at the Guantanamo Bay military base. You know, I have to ask myself sometimes. Back in the early days, before they were huge. Did Pete Townsend smash guitars and Keith Moon kick over drum sets when they couldn't afford the next drum set or the next guitar? If Jimi Hendrix couldn't have afforded it, would he have set that guitar on fire? Because, see, I'm in a position now where we've got very, very nice equipment. And I'm so proud of the effort that has gone into making all of this work. But there is going to come a time that one of these stories is just going to get a little too far under my fingernails, and I'm going to pick up a keyboard or a monitor and heave it across the room, because there is somewhere along the way there's a damn breaking point, and I'm not doing it for audience effect. FBI agents documented more than two dozen incidents of possible mistreatment at the Guantanamo Bay military base. Nah, hell no, it's not a concentration camp, it's a military base, and the mistreatment, not torture, is only possible. Including, now see, this is one of the daggummit journalism degree, including one detainee who's... Now, just wait for this, okay? If you haven't read it already, bear with me, because I've been reading this, I've read this several times already, and I still can't make it be okay. I still can't be okay with what passes for that sort of journalism. Now, as you hear what it is, the including one incident of, ask yourself if it's possible, ask yourself if it's mistreatment, and ask yourself if it's something that only happens to a detainee. Including one I got to do this faster. I'm not going to get through it without another one of these sidebars. Including one detainee whose head was wrapped in duct tape for chanting the Quran, and another who pulled out his hair after hours in a sweltering room. By the way, did you know that we're spending something like, $125 million, $25 million? I don't care. I lose track of the zeros after a while. Building more stuff at Guantanamo that includes a hotel and restaurants? Sorry, I'm screaming again. It's going to get through the whole daggum night without screaming. What, are we going to have closed-circuit television to watch the little goat herds pull their hair out? Documents released Tuesday by the FBI offered new details about the harsh interrogations practice used by military officials. Ah, Jesus, it's only harsh. No, harsh is when you go, harsh! That's harsh! This is not harsh, this is goddamn torture! Agnes hates it when I use the words. You know, Agnes does. And I understand that. And there ought to be better words for describing it. The reports describe a female guard who detainees said handled their genitals and wiped menstrual blood on their face. Oh, let's just get out the s'mores! Everybody, it's time to make the s'mores and tell the bedtime story! Another interrogator reportedly bragged to an FBI agent about dressing as a Catholic priest and baptizing a prisoner. Golly dang, that's just funny. I don't care who you are, that's funny. Some military officials and contractors, they're just contractors, they're not torturers or mercenaries, they're contractors, told FBI agents that the interrogation techniques had been approved by the Defense Department, including directly by former Defense Secretary Donald H. Rumsfeld. See, we wouldn't know about this except for the Communist Front Group American Civil Liberties Union. Because they had to sue to find out this stuff. And, of course, there's the background stuff. President Bush signed legislation in October that authorized aggressive interrogation tactics. That's a big old fancy mouthful of syllables for torture! But did not define them. Oh, well, dang, he didn't define them, so therefore, we live in a world where you have to define it, and Congress has to pass a law that specifically says, thou shalt not wrap thy concentration camp, the prisoner's head in duct tape, nor stick thy concentration camp prisoner in a 110-degree room and watch him pull his hair out.
Well, see, they didn't tell us we couldn't.
Let's see. How about the words of one FBI agent, who had to be compelled to do this, by the way. Bear in mind, not by having his head duct taped. I did observe treatment that was not only aggressive, but personally very upsetting, one agent wrote, describing seeing a man left in a 100-degree room with no ventilation overnight. The detainee was almost unconscious on the floor with a pile of hair next to him. He had apparently, literally, been pulling his own hair out throughout the night. Another agent said he heard several thunderclaps and then saw a detainee lying on the floor with a bloody nose. Interrogators told the agent that the man was upset and he had thrown himself to the floor.
Throw him to the floor, Centurion! Woof we!
Now, is this in the same category as Bob Ewell fell on his knife 37 times? In one report, an agent said he saw a detainee draped in an Israeli flag in a room with loud music and strobe lights. Now, that sounds like a scene from that sounds like a disco party scene from the Young Republicans meeting, but you know, not for a goat herder from Afghanistan. A note on the report said the Israeli flag, quote, may have been over the top, but not abusive. The words maybe were then crossed out and replaced with is. Then there's this Lieutenant Commander Joe Carpenter. Lieutenant Commander Joe Carpenter is a disgrace to the flag of the United States, a disgrace to his uniform, a disgrace to his rank and his pay grade and his nation. Because, you see, Lieutenant Commander Joe Carpenter is a Pentagon spokesman. And he said,
The Department of Defense policy is clear. We treat detainees humanely. The United States operates safe, humane, and professional detention operations for enemy combatants who are providing valuable information in the war on terror. They include some of the world's most vicious terrorist operatives and several goat herders.
We have asked the question repeatedly whether these people are sadists or whether they are idiots. Because if they're idiots, there's a better way to do this. If they're sadists, there's no hope and no help. And there is a lump in my throat. A few minutes left in the program. Let's talk to Kathy, calling from Daytona Beach, Florida. She's part of Code Pink. Hey, Kathy, welcome to the program.
Well, hey, I'm glad to be here.
I am so glad to talk to you.
Thrilling to be on the air. And I'm Kathy Bracewell. I'm the Code Pink coordinator for Volusia, Flagler Counties for Central Florida.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for all that you and Code Pink does.
I am just dedicated. I'm committed. I protested Vietnam in that day and age. That was a while back. I never thought I'd be out there again. But about a year ago, my boyfriend's mother sent me, I was wondering how I could get involved, and my boyfriend's mother sent me this information about Code Pink. And I read about it, and I found that it was just right up my alley. And I decided to get involved, and I got in touch with the national office, the people that are in charge of Code Pink out in San Francisco. And I got in touch with them through CodePinkAlert.org.
Okay, CodePinkAlert.org.
CodePinkAlert.org, and they instructed me on how to become a local coordinator. So it's been a wonderful experience, and I'm out there on the street corner every week. Every Thursday night at a major intersection in the heart of Daytona Beach. I was in art class and painted my own signs.
Oh, wonderful.
I got real creative with it and did some signs. And, you know, I'm still using some of the same signs every week, every Thursday night. We're out there protesting the occupation of Iraq, and we're wanting to bring the troops home. Our latest spiel is we want to bring the troops home now.
That's what it has to be, because, you know, the news that came out yesterday from the BBC, Kathy, said that George wants to send 20,000 more. Well, now CNN is reporting that the number will actually be between 20 and 40,000.
You know, I'm not surprised. It just seems like Vietnam all over again to me. And my brother, who lives in northern Wisconsin, is permanently disabled from Vietnam. He's never been employable. And he was a bright, young, fun-loving guy when he left, and he's never been the same.
Oh, God.
And so that's part of the reason I'm out there. It touched me personally. So.
Well, that's the best reason in the world. And beyond that, Kathy, the notion that what you've experienced and he has experienced should not be experienced again.
For sure. This is senseless. Those guys died during the Vietnam era for no reason, and now we see that they're dying for no reason again. It's just to be cannon fodder for the powerful elite, that it's all about natural resources. In this case, it's about the oil in that region. And under the guise of patriotism and fighting the terrorists, to me, our government officials are the terrorists. That's how I feel about it. And I will not give up. I'll be out there every week, and I'll continue to do what I can, you know.
Good for you, and I hope other people can take heart from your activism. You know, this isn't something that, you know, it costs you a bunch of money to do. The only cost it has for you, and you can feel free to disagree if I'm wrong, the only cost involved was what it would cost you and your soul if you didn't.
Exactly, and that would cost plenty. And the only thing that I really invest is my time. And if I didn't invest my time, you're right, I would be very sick. I mean, I just couldn't do it personally. All it takes is two people, two women in any area in this country, small town, big city, whatever, to join together, to form a demonstration. It doesn't take many, to make a couple of signs, pick one night a week, stand on a street corner in their hometown.
Have you been safe, Kathy?
I've been very safe. I mean, it's in a major intersection of Daytona Beach, and it's near a couple of kind of bad neighborhoods, but the Daytona Beach police have been very supportive to us. They're right there, and we had a couple problems at times. They were right there in a couple of seconds. We have some men from Central Florida Veterans for Peace who are with us. They're strong men. They help us. They support us, and they're always there to kind of watch over things in case anything should develop.
What kind of responses do you get?
We get a lot of positive responses. Horns honking, thumbs up, keep up the good work, we're behind you. Of course, we're going to get some craziness and some people swearing at us. We choose to ignore them. I don't get into confrontations with them. We, you know, everybody has a right to their opinion, so we do get some negative responses. Some of the F word and so forth, calling us names.
Well, that's how those people are.
That's to me, that's just low mentality. That isn't very intelligent.
Well, it shows the desperation of their position, doesn't it?
The desperation of their position, right. And we want to educate people. What we do is, another thing we do is we hand out a lot of flyers. My boyfriend here makes, out of his own pocket, makes deep copies of DVDs that are copyable, and we hand them out to people along with important information on flyers, educating the public. We believe in educating the public because they are not getting the true story from the mainstream media.
No, they're not.
So we feel like we have to be the news. So we're out there handing out our flyers.
Well, just Kathy, just for scheduling purposes, in case there's anybody listening in the area who can drive by and give you a honk and a thumbs up, when are you going to be out there next?
We're out there every Thursday night, without fail.
Okay, so tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night during the busy drive home period between 6 and 7:30. Some of our women, the two diehards, come out a little earlier, and one of our men from Vets for Peace come out a little earlier since it gets dark out now earlier.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there by 5:30. But I work till 6, so I don't get there till late. And I'm out there every single Thursday night, and we are there till 7:30 at night.
Well, blessings upon you for what you're doing, Kathy.
Thank you.
We all appreciate it and honor what it is that you're trying to do, because there are lives in the balance, and you and others like you and Code Pink may actually save some of them, and I hope to God you do.
Thank you so much. And, you know, anybody can do this.
That's true.
Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you for yours. You take care. I hope we'll hear from you again.
I hope to speak to you again.
Take care, Kathy.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, we're up against it. Time to go. Malloy time. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. And thanks especially to my lovely, darling, talented wife, Agnes, who produced, to John Fox, the engineer, to Ben Birch, our streaming, archiving, podcasting partner, to Peter Godbold, to the moderators, to our news ninjas, and especially to the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters, who make all this possible, because they do, in fact, build the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.